Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening. It's me, the Monk.
Have you ever listened to Trash Station Thoughts? That doesn't seem too hard. I can do that. Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
How many like useless skills have you ever learned in your life?
It's just my entire life. My entire life is a list of useless skills.
Every video game ever.
Yeah. Every video game ever. I think one day.
What counts as a useful skill?
I don't know. Okay. So like the reason I learned pen spinning is because I fidget. Like, I guess we just started, but the reason I learned pen spinning is because I just really like to fidget, as you guys know.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought to myself, if I fidget all the time, might as well make it look cool, you know? And that's literally the reason I learned how to do the pen spin thing.
I just did it because I was bored in class.
Otherwise, I'd probably just like start chewing on the pen or something, right? I don't know. I was like, what? I was definitely that kid.
What about like people who like, Felix does this with the knives.
The knives?
Yeah. I want to.
You can't really bring
that.
A knife to school, can you?
Yeah.
How do you even get
like,
into
hey,
that?
Teach.
How do you learn and get into that and then start doing it?
I'd be too scared to try.
It's not about learning and getting into that because there's so many YouTube channels that, you know, teach that kind of stuff, but it's having the commitment to be like, I'm going to learn this now. I'm going to spend time learning this skill, which I don't ever know if I'm going to be able to use this in my life.
Right. Well, again, what's a skill that's useful?
Actually, why did you learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube?
Because I've always just wanted to. Because again, you know, imagine you're the only Asian kid in a white school, right? So you're just like given these like insane expectations to do these like crazy skills, right? Like people never believed me in school when I said that I couldn't play chess. Just because they're like, but you're the Asian kid. You're the smart kid. You should know how to do all these things. Like you can't play shogi? You can't play go? I'm like, no. And it's like, well, fake Asian. And Rubik's Cubes, like stereotypically, right?
Are they,
back when I was in school, it was. Yeah.
By the way, welcome to Trash Taste. We just jumped right into it.
Welcome to a little Trash Taste.
Yeah.
I'm Connor, featuring the boys, Gart and Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, Rubik's Cube player.
The Rubik's Cube
player. I don't know, and I always like, because it was one of those things that I feel you go to like any house,
right?
And there's like a high possibility that it's just kind of like sitting there as like an ornament,
right?
It was like very rare. I'd say like out of 10 houses that have a Rubik's Cube, 9 of them probably have like a thin layer of dust on top of it because it's just like, oh, it's just like a cool little knickknack to put on the shelf, right? It's like that coffee table book, you know, that like no one actually reads, but it's like, oh, you read this? And they're like,
it's like iconic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a piece. Is it?
But
is
like
it
how often do you get to flex your Rubik's Cube skills if it's not like-
If
we didn't have like a Trash Taste Rubik's Cube, how many times in your life have like you gone to a party and you're like, oh my God, it's a Rubik's Cube. Guys, I'm about to flex.
Step back, guys. Here comes the Asian kid.
I think everyone who knows how to solve a Rubik's Cube says they don't regret it.
No.
They don't, very likely.
Because it's like weirdly an impressive skill to have.
I promised in a video I was going to learn it.
It's not that hard. I actually learned it once as well because I learned it. I've completely forgotten it, but I remember
could have been that easy then. Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard. I forgot it.
I mean, I learned it in a day.
Yeah,
because like I remember I was in a hotel room and I was staying in this hotel and for some reason it was like this, you know, it was like this chic hotel. They tried doing like different things with their decorations and it just had a Rubik's Cube that was unsolved in this like really clean hotel room.
Right.
And my like OCD mind was just like, how dare they?
It's not perfect.
How dare, like it's like they fucking designed this room to be like just mildly infuriating. just to, like it was a perfectly clean room. It looked amazing, but on the desk there was just a Rubik's cube on there.
It's like those memes of like you should see a picture and it's like, what's wrong with this image?
Right. And like I could not sleep in this like hotel room knowing that there was like I was just like this, I was staring all night at this Rubik's cube that was just unsolved.
Yeah.
And so I just took a day where I just Googled how to solve a Rubik's cube so I could fucking just like solve it before I went to bed, learn how to do it. And it like, I never really thought about how to solve a Rubik's cube before. And I was like, oh, it's actually pretty simple. It's just an algorithm basically.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a bunch of like algorithms. Well, I mean,
you know? When you're following a guide, it's pretty easy, but the hard part is being able to do it independently.
Yeah. So I never got to the point where it was just like muscle memory. You know, I was just like, it was just like, you know, it was a slow process, but anyone's able to solve a Rubik's cube.
I also remember like the reason why I actually like finally learned how to solve it, because I always wanted to solve it since I was in high school, because again I got, you know, called that kid. But then, you know, pandemic hit, everyone's stuck inside, and it's like, you know, I think everyone had that point where it's like, well, I need to fucking do something, right? I can only play so many hours of Animal Crossing per day, right?
So
it's like
so many sourdough breads.
Exactly. So I was like, all right, well, let's like learn a bunch of useless skills. So I think I learned how to do like 4 or 5 different useless skills, and Rubik's cubes just happened to be one.
What the other ones?
The other one was, you know, you've probably seen it before. Do you know what kendama is? It's like this very old Japanese toy that it kind of looks like a hammer with a ball.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
I did that as a kid, but I wasn't very good at it.
What is that? Like,
it's just like it's this like really ancient Japanese toy, kind of like, you know, like spinning tops and stuff. Yeah. It's like that era.
What's the challenge?
The challenge is you have to, so there's 3 different plates on this, like it looks like a hammer. And there's like a concave like plate on the bottom, and there's 2 concave plates on the side, and there's like a little spike on the top. The regular one, the regular one is like you kind of turn it to the side and you have to throw the ball up without actually holding the ball and let it land in the cup. That's just like the simple skill, but there's like a million different like tricks you can do. It's kind of like yo-yoing. Where it's like you can just like regularly do a yo-yo, and then there are yo-yo tricks, right? Which are just like on another level of difficult and skill.
Those are cool.
And so like kendama is kind of the same thing. So like Japan every year has like these like kendama championships where like you can actually get like licenses and like certificates to say that you're a pro kendama like player if you do like these certain tricks.
Right. That's cool.
And one of the tricks, I could do like the regular cup.
Right.
Because like that's fucking easy. Like anyone can do that, honestly. One of the hardest ones is where you have to get it so that the ball lands on the spike.
Right.
By doing this. And
that sounds impossible.
There's a trick to it, but then I was like, I'm going to learn how to do that during this pandemic.
Yeah.
So I bought like a proper like professional graded like kendama, because they have those. There's like toy ones and then there's
professional graded.
Yeah, there's like a kendama.
It's a serious piece.
There's like a national kendama committee in Japan where they're like, they look at each kendama and they're like, yeah, you can use that in those in competitions. And it comes with like a certificate to be like, this is a certified kendama.
So did you learn how to do it?
Yeah, I learned how to do it.
And now you got to bring it into the office. I'm curious now.
You can't say that. There better be a video on screen right now of Joey doing it.
How have you never posted a video on Twitter or something?
Because it's like the most niche thing on the planet.
I would like to see it. Okay. You just randomly like, in the next Anime Man or Joey video, I'm just gonna have just casually do it. Just don't explain yourself. You just casually do it. I swear to God, every comment is going to be about that one thing, right?
I was gifted a Rubik's cube once as a kid.
Yeah.
For Christmas.
By
my parents.
Oh, okay.
But it was a Harry Potter Rubik's cube.
Okay.
All the tiles were themed. They were all pictures of Harry Potter. Right. Because I loved Harry Potter. Yeah. Of course I am, because I'm British.
Yeah.
And so I have this cube, right? And I'm thinking, wow, this is just great.
Yeah.
And I turn it once. And no, I'll put it back.
don't want to ruin the picture.
I like the picture. What's the point in the cube if I don't have the cube?
that's me in basically every Rubik's cube before.
So I go, you know, and then another day I go back to it and I turn it once, turn it twice. And I'm like, no, I'll put it back. I don't want to ruin it. And then one time I go, you know, a few days later or whatever, I love this cube. It's the most awful thing. Like, it's so hard to solve because the pictures are so shit.
Yeah.
So I start turning it, and I turn it like 4 or 5 times. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start turning it back. And then I turn it back. I'm like, 1, okay, 2. Oh, fuck. It's not back the way it was.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I think it's like just one. There's one thing out of play. I can fix this.
Yeah,
I start trying things, and I just keep fucking it up.
It just gets worse and worse.
And then I realize what a shit toy this is. I'm like 8 years old. I cannot solve this. Now I'm just fucked. And now, if I want to see the pictures of Harry Potter, I have to actually like learn how to solve it.
Yeah,
but I'm
8,
and I don't know how. No one's even began to explain to me. There's an algorithm. I don't know that. I Google. I get 1 hour a day to go online. I'm not using that. I'm going to go watch Yu-Gi-Oh! GX episode 400, part 1 of 3.
Espanol.
I'm going to do that and not look at the Rubik's Cube. So I was just like really disappointed and I was really sad. And I remember I found it a few years later and I thought, I'll give it a shot. And I just couldn't do it.
And that seems more difficult than a regular one.
It was, because the pictures were all like, it was Harry Potter and it was Hogwarts. So they were all like, they were like brown.
Could you take like the stickers off?
Yeah,
and
I tried that.
I was going to ask that. That's what I did as a kid.
But then when I did that, it wasn't, you know, because this was the factory, the factory production. All the cubes were perfect. So when I started peeling them and shit, they were all like, a little bit wonky. Stickers are some of the most annoying shit to like place.
Yeah.
Because you put it and you're like, I'm doing it perfectly. Flat. You put it on, douche. I don't know how that happens.
Every time.
Building a gun club, you're like.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, fucking.
It's like that, but
on
like
planted.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the only, like, useless skill I've learned before was, I mean, do you guys know how to juggle?
No. I learned how to do the one-handed.
You learn how to use a one-handed juggle?
Yeah, but like, you know, with two balls where you kind of like.
I never
got to the point where it was with three.
Yeah, I mean, growing up on Brighton Beach, I remember like one day I just decided to just learn how to juggle using pebbles and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I can still juggle. I don't know. Well, it's been a while.
We have to have a video where we show each other the useless skills.
Actually, the most useful party trick. Do you guys have any party tricks that you like can show off in a party or whatever?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I'm like fucking Susan Boyle every party I go to. Everyone stops.
So. Yeah. Actually, like the most useful party trick I know is just being able to open a bottle with anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that a few times because it's not just like, it's every time you do it. If you want to just know a trick that will take you 5 minutes to learn, but will be useful in basically every party you go to, just learn how to open a bottle with a lighter or another bottle.
I feel like us not sharing these abilities is like making this episode worse. What's the point of us filming this?
Like how often do you go to a party and you see a Rubik's Cube there and you're like, finally,
like boys, step back.
Boys, my time to shine.
I can click my wrists on command.
Can you?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that doesn't sound healthy.
Oh, you got like a 80-year-old wrist. Yeah. Is that the gamer wrist?
That's
the gamer
wrist. You want to see these scars, boys?
Tell me you have carpal tunnel without saying you have carpal tunnel.
I can just click both of them.
Yeah, I only know like small little things that will, you know, maybe impress like your 5-year-old cousin.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at a home, like I can do like the water droplet sound. Like that's the only thing I can do.
Oh yeah,
do
that's Skype.
You can do the Skype thing perfectly.
The Skype thing?
The Skype.
Oh, the doo 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 whoop doo 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 whoop. Is that a skill?
We just like ran out of shit to talk about. Like, oh, what'd you do? Joke you the thing again.
I think that's pretty funny. We're talking about useless. That appeals to a very like tight niche. Yeah. You know? Like, you had to be on the internet in the mid 2000s to appreciate that one.
The Windows XP shutdown noise. Can you do that?
Well, like, dun, 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 dun. That's not accurate at all. That's just me singing it.
Oh, shit.
I've never done that. Why did you think I could do that?
I've always been able to do that thing where you like hold your body up. I don't know why I've always been able to do that.
What do you mean?
The one with like through here, like that?
Like when you're just like on a surface and you can like hold your whole body.
Oh, you mean like what breakdancers do, kind of?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I've always been able to do that. I don't know why.
But yeah, you have to have like good core strength for that, don't you?
Mm.
Like,
I guess you got
great core strength, right?
I don't know. Maybe I do. I don't know.
This like conversation just reminded me that I went through like a phase. Like, you know, you're a kid and sometimes you go through phases, right?
Mm.
So I remember the first time I've ever saw David Blaine on TV doing stream magic. And I'm just like, I want to do that. Yeah, looks incredible. And I remember like going through this phase where I, you know, there was these packages. This was before you could just Google or YouTube how to do magic tricks online. So I actually had to like pay, like send off, I had to convince my parents to send off money to this company that like supposedly sent you magic tricks and and like magic magic secrets
that
and all
just
that.
Sounds like a scam.
I'm surprised, like for the one time in my life, it wasn't a scam.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They actually like sent me back like a VHS that like played. And I remember like learning how to do like a bunch of these magic tricks. Yeah. And I'm just like, great, I'm gonna impress everyone around me. But like, there's never a moment where you go to a party or you go to a family gathering and like, you don't want to be that guy who just brings out a deck of cards.
Hey, pick a card, any card.
Yeah. It's just like you know, I know magic. I have a deck of cards on me right now, you know? You never want to be that guy. So I've never been able to, like, even though I learned how to use these skills as a kid, I never was able to show them off. So it's kind of like martial arts in some way, right? Because, you know, I remember seeing this YouTube video about like, why do people learn martial arts? Because you basically spend years of your life, you spend years and years honing this one skill for like these moments that will only last maybe like a few minutes of your life, right? Unless you go to tournaments and stuff like that, right? Because you're training yourself for like that one fight you're gonna be in like whatever moment that's going to be, right?
Yeah.
But then you spend years building up to that moment, and like, what if you just fuck up in that moment, right? What if all the training just leaves your body in that one moment?
What if the dude's like 9 foot?
Yeah, I didn't train.
Right? I'm like, fuck, dude. What weight are you again? That's my weight class. Sorry.
Yeah. I feel like that's the good thing though about like doing YouTube is that like for me, I just use videos to do shit that I otherwise wouldn't normally do. So like with like martial arts, for instance, like I remember, oh my God, I don't even remember how many years ago this was. This is like a 4 or 5 year old video. I learned how to like backflip.
I was going to say, if there's one skill I want to learn how to do, actually, it's the backflip.
Well, it's just like standing.
Yeah, standing. A standing backflip.
You did a standing backflip.
I did a standing backflip once in a video. It was me and like...
Was your parents encourage you? They're trying to get rid of you?
It was, like, I was in Japan already. Oh, okay. I was in Japan and it was me, Dogen, and my friend Albert.
You were above the age of like 15 doing this.
Yeah, this is like 4 years ago.
Oh my God, that's like suicide.
Yeah, because we cosplayed as Naruto characters.
Oh my God. That's the reason you learn how to backflip? Because of Naruto?
Because it was a Naruto online sponsorship.
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, I need to do something Naruto related. You know what? I'll learn ninja tricks. And by ninja tricks, I mean just tricking and learning how to backflip.
Wait, so how long did it take you to learn how to backflip?
Like, I think we were in that gym for maybe like 5-6 hours. Okay. But I learned how to do like other tricking like tricks. Because like Dogen used to be like a fucking like professional trickster. Is that the right word?
I don't know. Professional trickster.
Sounds like a Persona character.
like parkour.
Yeah. He used to do like tricking.
What
and
the
shit.
Fuck?
Serious? And then he like hurt his knees, I think, really badly, and he like couldn't stop doing it. But he was like, he taught me how to like backflip and shit. And I did it successfully once and I haven't done it since.
Do you think you'd be able to relearn and pull off another backflip?
Maybe, because I think what took me so long and I think what the level of entry is that you just have to get over your fear.
Yeah. That's what, like, because I've seen people trying to learn backflips. Yeah. So I'm just like, that looks like a really interesting process.
You snapped your neck, just get over the fear, you piece of shit.
Yeah, because like, it's not natural for you to be like, all right, jump and also pull your entire body back like this at the same time. Like, your body's just like, no.
I think that's cool, but the one skill I learned, I also love this channel. It's Mike Boyd. Boyd, yeah, how long can it take me to learn X thing?
Oh, I think I know that character. Yeah.
I think
he's got this one video, and I really want to learn how to do this. Mm. He has an umbrella, and he's holding the umbrella, and the trick is that he throws the umbrella in front of him. It goes like quite far away, and then it opens in midair, and while he's walking, he catches the umbrella. As he's it fully opens. Floats down and he catches it.
Yeah.
And I want to learn how to do that.
There's so many like little tricks like that I want to learn how
to do. Just imagine you're on like the Japanese street and you're just like Right. It's like some anime shit.
I want to do that with like a cap where like you throw the cap and it lands perfectly on your head.
But that's good enough because you always need to like pull it down, right? Yeah. With the umbrella, it's like immediate. You're like walking. You're good to go. No readjustment. You've got the umbrella.
Oh, no. You know what's a truly useless skill I've always wanted to learn?
What?
Is to draw a perfect hand circle.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Because I've seen so many videos and every time I see it, I'm just like, nut. That is the most satisfying thing in the world. Just like freehand.
That
just
one
like,
video where the guy like does that.
Yeah.
The guy does
that. I'm allowed to do that shit.
That's a cool
party trick.
That is a cool party trick. Everyone has a pencil. Not everyone has a Rubik's Cube.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't carry a pencil on me all the time.
Well, no, if you're at someone's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in a house that doesn't have a drawing equipment of some kind. Have you ever been in a house where they just don't have any pens and pencils?
I think it's my house, right?
Yeah, wow. That's just Connor's house, right?
Yeah, that's my house.
True millennial right here.
What's pencil? What's pen and paper, dude?
Actually, I don't think I have a pencil in my house.
What? That's
I have a pens.
No, there's no way. You guys live in Japan. There's more paperwork than fucking anything in this country.
Pens, you just use pens.
Well, yeah, pens. That's what I mean, like drawing things.
Yeah, I guess like now that I'm thinking.
Drawing equipment.
Drawing
what's the word?
What are you calling pens?
Drawing things. What is it called?
Drawing. Painters paint with? Oh, yeah, the drawing.
The drawing thing.
Unfortunately, I don't draw anything. When was the last time I drawed something?
Just imagine like the sad music playing. I haven't drawn anything.
I haven't drawn
since
anything.
The accident. I haven't drawn anything.
I just have like zero skill in drawing and I have done for my entire life, I think. I don't know.
We need to do like a drawing competition now that you said that.
I'm somebody who also sucks at drawing. I believe it's like singing. It's like, I don't think you're just like naturally good, like immediately. Oh, maybe you are actually.
I think some people are.
Some people are.
I think you do have to practice though.
Yeah, of course you have to practice. But I think the last time I drew something, I can't remember what the context was, but I think I had to draw a cat for something. Oh, it was the Netflix shoot. I remember because it was for Anime Club and Netflix and I had to draw a cat on the whiteboard or something. And Joey, I was drawing this cat and Joey could not recognize like that it was even an animal that I was drawing on this whiteboard.
He drew like a UMA. Like, I don't know what it was. It was not of this earth.
What is a UMA?
Like those like unidentified, what is it? Like the Chupacabra. Like that level. It's like urban legend shit.
Chupacabra.
What the fuck's a UMA? Something animal.
This is the first time I've ever.
Unidentified mysterious animal, like UFO.
This is the first fuck thing I've ever.
Yeah, you know, like Mothman or like Chupacabra, like any of those.
I
like
didn't know
urban
they were called
UMAs. UMAs, unidentified mysterious animal.
Do you believe any of those?
No.
No.
Although when I was 10, I did believe Chupacabra. But anyone did.
Why would you believe in Chupacabra?
Because you're 10 years old. You believe Harry Potter is real when you're 10
like,
years old.
Isn't that like Mexican or something?
Yeah, it was Mexican or Spanish. Oh, I mean, Chupacabra means... Chupacabra means goat drinker or some shit.
But what is the Chupacabra?
Fucking no!
It was this like viral video in like early 2000s, I think, where like there was just it was Mexico or Spain or somewhere, it was some Spanish speaking country, where like just some dudes went into a forest at night because they heard some shit, and then there was this like creature that appeared on camera.
It was like the goat person, right?
Yeah, it was like eating a goat, or it looked like a demonic goat.
Yeah.
And like, I remember like back then, like it was a huge sensation, especially in Japan. It was a massive sensation because for an early 2000s video, it was like way too high quality. Like it looked way too real. Like you look at the Chupacabra videos now and you're like, oh, that could almost like, if you weren't aware of it, that could almost come off as convincing.
Yeah.
Cause it was like too good. And then people were like shocked when they found out it was fake. And it's like, oh, who would have thought there isn't a fucking goat drinker demon thing in the forests of Mexico or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. I think like the only thing that I believed as a kid or I wanted to believe, I really wanted to believe like the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Because as a kid, you're just obsessed with dinosaurs. And you're like,
exactly.
We like stories. Thinking cool shit exists out there, but it doesn't.
It's like everyone wanted to believe Moby Dick was a real thing.
Like Bigfoot.
Well.
Like a lot of people.
Bigfoot,
weirdly, a lot of people really
that fucking
believe,
image of Bigfoot like doing this.
People like really believe Bigfoot for some reason.
But like it also like makes me think, what if one of those things was real, right? What would make you actually believe it, right? Because
seeing it.
If I see it like, if I see like a news article of like scientists like properly talking
having
about something
credible, be like, yep, this is
okay,
legit.
Because like I remember because I think we have talked about this before, but like I mean, it's been proven by the government that UFOs exist, and like nobody freaked out over it. Nobody really reacted
sounds
to
like
it.
Alex Jones.
Well, so, I mean, like, last year with the what was it, the Black Files?
But it's like if it was. If I said to you, oh, by the way, we found an alien spaceship. We know it's an alien, by the way. You'd be freaking out. But if you're like, oh, we have no fucking clue what that thing was. You're
It could have been like a drone.
Oh, okay.
Or something. Yeah.
Everyone like doesn't, because you're like, oh, well, I'm sure there's an explanation for it. We just don't know. Mm. But if it's like, by the way, we literally found the things from Men in Black, then I think everyone's going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, like, because, I mean, it's weird, right? Because you do look at the videos. I do look at the videos of the UFO images and the UFO videos, and I'm just like, that's freaky. And I do think UFOs exist, but do I think it's aliens? I don't know. I don't know myself. No, I don't know how to react to it, I guess.
I was going to say, like, there was a weird part of me that saw those, like, government file, you know, videos, which are, like, you know, legit, right? Because, like, why would an organization like that lie?
Yeah.
But it's like, I saw it and I was like, why does that look like just every other UFO video I've ever seen.
I think that's the problem with it, right? Because there's so many fakes nowadays that even when the real thing is actually released, you're so desensitized with it. You're just like,
it's like the fake ones looked more real.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why is that?
It's just it. I thought seeing UFOs, real UFOs, would be more impressive. Yeah. And I don't know why I thought that, but I just thought it would be more impressive. And it just wasn't, you know?
I mean, I assume that if an alien species finds us, we'll probably be dead.
Why? They just wipe us out.
Odds are, this, like, think of it. If an alien spaceship, if alien civilization had the opportunity to, or had the capability of finding other planets and going around scouting, they're more technologically advanced than us.
Yeah.
We're probably fucked.
Yeah,
odds are they're not going to want to be like, hey, friends. They're going to be like, let's take all your stuff. You have minerals. We need collect the minerals.
You require more minerals.
Like fucking StarCraft. They're just going to use this for another base. Why would they give a shit? They're not going to give a fuck. They'll treat us like cows.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of, I agree with you because I think, what if humanity had this?
We would fuck over everyone.
we would
fuck everyone.
Yeah, we fuck ourselves over enough. Like, let alone another species.
We can't even
right?
save our own fucking planet. Let alone some other species' planet. You know,
anyone who thinks that like we wouldn't just blow up a planet if we just thought they were a little strange looking.
Yeah,
that doesn't have enough.
Especially if they have like natural resources or some shit.
I'm sure a lot of people would be like, I don't think we should do this, but the government of whatever, the United Government of all whatever, would just be like, bye bye planet.
Yeah. Bye bye. Oh, we'll just find another one.
But they are rich in iron. We must destroy.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of destroying planets and living through the apocalypse, I guess we kind of,
what a fantastic segue.
Yeah, what a fantastic segue. We kind of lived through something like that yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, that was terrifying. We had a very big earthquake. I'm sure.
That's what you, I was like, what are you referring to?
Oh, I knew immediately what it was about.
Yeah, because you had a very different experience
us. Same brain cell.
Yeah, same brain cell.
But yeah, we had two big earthquakes actually yesterday, back to back. I'm sure the world news has covered it. It's probably old news by the time you're watching this. But
I mean, it was the biggest earthquake I have lived through so far. Mm. I think it was bigger than the one in LA, or at least it felt like it was bigger than the one in LA.
I think Tokyo was like Mag 4 or 5.
4.5, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it was like magnitude 7.3. The epicenter.
Yeah,
in Fukushima. But yeah, I mean, I thought I'd experienced like big earthquakes in Japan before, and this one, like, even for people who have lived in Japan for longer than me, said that this was the biggest one that they've experienced as well.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lot of people said it's the biggest one they've experienced since the 2011 earthquake in Fukushima as well.
Yeah,
right?
Because I think it was because it wasn't just one.
Yeah,
it was like one that was pretty big already that caused another even bigger one.
Yeah,
like literally 2 minutes later.
Yeah,
so it just felt like one continuously large earthquake.
Well, how was it for you guys?
Am I weird? I like earthquakes.
You like earthquakes?
I quite like it. Is that bad?
Like in what sense?
It feels like a fun quick time event or something. I don't know. I don't know why, but it feels kind of fun. Is this weird?
Yeah, it's a bit.
I know this is weird. Yeah. I don't know.
It is technically a natural disaster. Yeah.
I know. I know because it's like it causes so many problems. Yeah. But like
that's like watching a bushfire and being like, "Oh, sick."
You know, like I get it. I get this, it.
Well, you don't say that about like typhoons.
This is the guy who gave us shit for looking at fire next to a canister, and here he is being like looking at an earthquake, like a disaster on like a 10 times the magnitude, not like thousands of times the magnitude of an exploding can, and he's just like, ooh, a quick time event.
It's just, I don't know. Like,
the Bayonetta music starts playing.
I obviously protect my whatever is valuable in my house, but also it's kind of interesting seeing what stays and what falls over. I quite enjoy that. Well, I understand.
It's a bet for you taking bets. Being
I
like,
kind of, yeah. I was out and I was kind of like hyped to think, like, when I came back, I was like, oh, I wonder what fell over. Like, nothing had fell over. And I was like,
you were disappointed?
I'm like, oh, okay. Obviously, if like my TV had fell over, I'd be like, fuck, that's shit. But, you know, when it's mild ones, like, obviously, because it was a big earthquake, but it wasn't that big in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I like those ones. But obviously, if it was like 8, yeah, I'd be another thing entirely. Oh, I do not like this one. I do not like this earthquake.
I mean, like, one thing I do not understand after having lived in Japan and experienced a bunch of earthquakes now is when do they send out the earthquake alarm?
I do not get
like,
it.
Like, I swear to God,
it's when the epicenter is close enough.
Oh, okay.
Did you get one?
No.
I have never gotten one since I got my new phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've definitely gotten a bunch, but it's only when the epicenter is close enough to where you live, where it sets it off, because it was in Fukushima and Miyagi. It was like too far away. Right. But the earthquake was big enough to the fact that we felt it.
Yeah. Because I hear the earthquake alarm and I brace myself and it's like the piddliest like little earthquake I've ever felt.
Yeah.
Like out of nowhere, like yesterday, you get the entire fucking house starts shaking. I'm like, why didn't I get an alarm for this? I feel like this is like more prevalent for like the alarm that I should be bracing myself for.
I do. Have you watched that YouTube video that's like noises that will give you anxiety if you live in Japan or something?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like all the disaster noises.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard the tsunami one?
Yeah, the tsunami was terrifying.
It's horrible. It's like what's the tower in Pokemon called?
Oh, the fucking Pokemon
like,
Tower.
Like no, the one with the dead Cubone.
Yeah, Pokemon Tower.
Is it Pokemon Tower?
I think Lavender Tower.
Lavender Tower.
Yeah.
It's like that level of creepy.
Yeah.
The tsunami one.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-hosts / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
This episode is sponsored by Honey. We all shop online, right, guys? Guys? Anyone? And we've all seen that promo code taunt us at the checkout, but thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free browser extension that scours the entire internet for the best promo code that you can use and applies it automatically for you. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online that ranges from tech companies to gaming products to fashion brands and even food. Here's how it works. Just imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite stores online. Don't tell me, I'm gonna guess.
Jesus Christ, that's what you're into?
And then when you're at the checkout, so the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for all the available coupons it can find for that site. And then if it finds a working coupon, you'll watch as the prices drop. I've been getting ready to fly back to England and recently Honey saved me $10 on this new travel bag I got just for that. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by doing it, you'll be doing yourself a favor and helping us out too. So get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/trashtaste. That's joinhoney.com/trashtaste. Thank you, Tony, for sponsoring this episode. Back to the video.
Oh, that's it.
I fucking hate that. It's horrible.
Yeah.
That one's horrible, dude.
That one.
Droom, droom. Oh.
It sounds like when you get an item in an RPG.
It sounds like I just opened a box in Zelda or something. Really.
Droom, droom. I think it's creepy because like...
It's slightly dissonant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like you're in a room that is like collapsing. It's designed to do that. And it's like, you're dying.
It's like you're in a game and you just like triggered a bad event.
No. I know the feeling. Have you ever heard like those music remixes where they take a happy song and they remix it in like a minor key? That's exactly what it sounds like.
You're talking about like Wrecking Ball in G minor?
Yeah. Joey gets one. Joey gets
music
the music memes.
Joey gets the music memes.
Yeah, it's just like in G minor.
Yeah. It's just, that feels dirty. I don't like that.
It's demonic.
Yeah.
The one that always gives me fucking anxiety is the earthquake alarms.
Yeah, that's
what?
But that one feels dangerous.
Yeah.
The tsunami one is creepy because it doesn't feel like it's like, oh my god, this is like a world ending event.
Yeah, this is like, it just sounds like a minor discomfort. Yeah.
it's like the mall's closing. Drum, drum,
drum, drum. You're out of the mall now.
Yeah, I mean, like for the earthquake yesterday for me, so it was actually big enough that it knocked out the power in my section of Tokyo.
But dox yourself, God.
Sorry,
dox yourself.
Well, the power got outed in a bunch of sections.
I think the news said it was like 2 million homes were out of power.
Yeah,
I don't even know if mine. I might have lost power, but I was out. So
you definitely would have known if you lost.
Yeah,
power.
I wasn't there. So
oh, okay, you went at home. Okay.
I could have gone out.
Mine was fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, I actually didn't even feel the first one. I don't know. Like, sometimes people were just like, oh, there was an earthquake. And I'm like, I didn't feel it. Was there really an earthquake? Or did you just stand up too fast? Or just go head rush? You know, because that happens to me sometimes, yeah. You know, where I think it's an earthquake happening, but it's really just.
It's just me tripping balls.
Yeah. I just feel like a little lightheaded. Or
are you watching something in Dolby Atmos? Yeah. I genuinely think there's always an earthquake happening when I'm watching Dolby Atmos.
Well, like the THX starts. It's like, dude,
like the floor shakes with the dolls. I'm always like, oh shit, are we good?
Yeah. So I was actually in my office on the bottom, on the ground floor, because I live in the house, and Sydney was chilling on the bed on the third floor of our house. And I just hear Sydney going, gone, gone, gone. And I'm just like, I didn't know it was an earthquake going on. So I was just like, taking my time with it. I'm like, let me finish this piece of work, and I'll just like casually stroll upstairs, and I see Sydney like just looking shell-shocked, because Sydney's like really sensitive to like earthquakes and like natural disasters kind of thing. So she's just like, did you feel that? And I was like, what's going on, Sydney? That was an earthquake, Gun. That was an earthquake. And I was like, was there? Are you sure, Sydney? Are you sure? And like, because I didn't feel it at all. And so I was like about to check my phone to see if, you know, anyone else had posted about it or anything like that. And then just as I got out my phone, it like the second quake hit. The second quake, the bigger one, and it's like, you know, this one, it didn't like immediately start off strong for me. It like shook a little bit. It shook a little bit. And so it started shaking. And I was like, oh, that's an earthquake. And Sydney was like, huh. Yeah, you feel it now, son of a bitch. You feel it now. You feel it fucking now. And then as she finished that, our lights just like turn off.
Right.
And there was just an immediate 180 from, oh, no. Come here, please. Come here.
Wait, no, sorry, stop there, are you?
All it took was the lights going out. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, it was actually like pretty surreal for me, because, it was the first time. I mean, in Thailand, we're like, fuck, I'm fucking used to power outages. We have like plenty of lights and everything like that. In here, it was just so surreal seeing just my entire
block, basically. My entire town just like in complete darkness. I think I posted a video of me just like walking around outside my house.
I have never seen my street almost in complete darkness. This is freaky as hell.
Which, because it was the first time I'd just seen any side of Tokyo just completely dark with some emergency lights on. It was like, it was kind of surreal, right?
Like apocalyptic.
Yeah, kind of apocalyptic, right? So like, because I was walking, because I thought, why not just take a walk just to see, just to see what the city is
take
like.
Take it in.
Yeah, just to see what the city is like when we're going through a disaster like this.
Yeah.
And I think the first time it hit me, of just how surreal this was I walk out and, you know, Tokyo was dark. But the point it actually hit me was when I walked to my main road and I could see the Lawson's had its lights out. And I'm just like, holy shit, even the combini
that
is affected.
That never happens.
This is the first time I've ever seen the fucking combini just out. And like the employees are in there just like fucking, they couldn't even open the door because like the power for like the automatic door wasn't open. I was like, oh, this is real. Yeah. I don't know why it was the combini, just because like I thought no matter what, like a comet could be crashing and like Lawson's would still be like serving.
Yeah, because even when Japan has like the worst typhoon in like the past 10 years, which I think it did like last year or the year before.
2 years ago.
The only thing that was open, the Lawson. Yeah,
the combinis,
the
right?
Combinis are all open.
Thick and thin. Yep. So that was the first MVPs. Time. Yeah, that was the first time it was surreal for me, because it was also surreal just seeing which parts of the grid were still supported.
Mm.
So actually, like, because I had to walk around, so like it was some traffic lights were working and some weren't. Mm. So that was weird.
Traffic lights weren't working.
Yeah, some of the traffic lights weren't working, right? But I think they must have prioritized the more busier intersections, right? Because all the big intersections were working, but some of the smaller ones weren't working.
I always thought that the road lights and stuff were on a separate thing entirely from the normal power.
Well, they might have like a backup system.
Yeah, they normally do, because obviously the last thing you want is
no traffic lights.
Yeah, and there was actually a traffic accident like near where.
That's
near
not surprising at all.
Near where I was. I think might have been because of that. But like the only thing that was actually lit was the train stations. Actually, the train stations had everything working. The elevators were still working and everything, even though everything else was like pitch black.
That wasn't the only thing that was lit, gone. I was having a great time in Akihabara. I was having a whale of a time. I was in the basement,
right?
Then some anime song bar went in there. There's a bunch of Japanese men singing Macross songs.
Nice. Right.
With a bunch of very young looking girls.
Okay.
So we went in there and we were just having a good time. I sang.
And you were like, man, I'm fucking lighting this place on fire, man.
I was singing Colors.
Everyone clapped.
Yeah. Must have thought like the bass of your voice was just like so strong that it was shaking the entire
building. I did JoJo as well. So
yeah, I mean, everyone in the bar was like, oh, they got Dolby Atmos here. Yeah. Holy shit.
It was so funny. I was with the guys I did the wrestling video with. He was like, oh, there's an earth crate just now. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Mm. Yeah.
And then 10 seconds later, the second one that was the bigger started like shaking, and we were all like, yeah. Because we were all drunk.
Joe!
And then, but we were in the basement and it was shaking, but it wasn't like that bad. Like, that's why initially I was quite shocked when I was getting a bunch of texts, people being like, sorry, that scared me. I was like, ghost?
Earthquake.
That's why I was quite shocked when I was getting so many texts and people being like, oh my God, are you okay?
Well, weirdly enough, you don't feel it when you're underground. You feel it when you're really up high, right?
Yeah. I mean, you feel it more at least.
Yeah, you feel it way more when you're up high.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right. It was good. Yeah, did you get a lot of people who don't live in Japan, who aren't used to earthquakes messaging you being
of course.
Oh my God, are you okay?
After the round of like people living in Japan tweets that I saw, I started to get like 17 messages from people all over the world. Because once it hit the mainstream, like, you know, international news.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like, I get it. Because like, how could you know the severity of it, but I think if I'm tweeting about it,
it probably means I'm okay.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's worse for like someone like Chris, right? Because he was living right next to it. Like, I can't imagine how strong the earthquake was for him.
He hit really hard.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've never been in an earthquake where a lot of stuff has literally just like gone on the floor and started smashing. Because I think, I don't know why, I'm oddly calm during an earthquake, and I remember like
I like it. You see what I mean? It's good.
I wouldn't say I like it, right? But I remember seeing Aki's video of that she took, and I related to Joey. So of course, me and Joey sharing the same brain cell. Yeah. But I remember relating to Joey so hard, just seeing Aki just like freaking out, going to the bed, and Joey just sitting with a stone cold face. On the couch, which is just like experiencing the world ending around him, and Joey's just, this is fine. It was literally just the this is fine face.
Joey.
Earthquakes.
It was a level 6
just.
Yeah,
hit.
That was a level 6.
Fukushima.
the one that got memed a lot online was like afterwards, it started to like really shake, right? And so Aki ran to the other side of the house, like to the bed, because like we always go to the bedroom because there's nothing in our bedroom other than our bed, right? So there's like, we don't have any worry about things like falling on us and stuff like that. So we go to the bed. She's like calling out to me. I'm like, why the fuck are you calling out to me? You're the one that left me behind. She like bolts. She like bolts into the bed. She's like, Joey, where are you? And I'm like, what do you mean? You left me in the living room. And so there's just this footage of me just like casually strolling in with a hand on my hip, being like, oh, 2 earthquakes.
Oh, fucking sick.
Yeah. And people are like, just Joey, just like, just as a Chad, just like walking in, like dad pose, like hand on his hip. Just like, I think someone said like, why does he look like a dad that's like waiting for like an argument to finish? It's just like, but to be fair, in my defense, I was surprised because I looked way calmer in that video than I actually was. Because I think in those kinds of situations,
which
like-
earthquake was this?
The one that happened yesterday.
Oh, you had a video of
it. Aki filmed it. Yeah.
I haven't seen this video.
Yeah, Aki filmed it. And I think I was surprised because I was like, oh, I look way calmer than I actually was. Because in my inside, I was like, oh fuck, this is like really long. Also, I was worried about my grandma because she lives up north.
Right.
I was like trying to text her and stuff. But out of context, it just looks like me just fucking standing there, just like waiting for this earthquake to end. Like, come on.
End already.
Fuck.
I really want to go in one of those like, I know they had it in like Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah.
They had the challenge where you had to like sit in like the Japanese tatami room.
Yeah.
It's on one of those earthquake simulation things.
Oh yeah.
And they have to like try and sit on the platform without falling over while they're, it's like magnitude 9. I really want to go on one.
I've been on one of those.
Oh dude.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. I did a video at like the like emergency center type in Japan.
Yeah,
and like you get where you get to experience like a house fire and like an earthquake and stuff like that. And they have one of those things. And I tried it on magnitude 9, which is the same as the 2011 earthquake.
Right.
Dude, it's crazy. Like,
What does it feel like?
It just feels like 4 guys are just surrounding you, just doing this. You can't even, like, I was sitting down, like, legs crossed, I was sitting down. And, like, after the first shake, like, I was, like, lying
flat. Holy shit.
Like, you cannot even, like, lie down straight. Like, it's so fucking intense. And so it really, like, went to sleep. Like, you know, when you hear magnitude 9, right, you're like, oh, fuck, that seems really big. But I think, like, actually experiencing magnitude 9 is another level.
Isn't it exponential?
Yeah, I think they just, like, whoever designed the Richter scale really, really, like, fucked up by making it a logarithmic scale. Because it's not, like, it's not linear, right? So it's, like, by...
It's logarithmic. No, do you mean exponential?
I think that's the same thing,
right? Logarithmic is exponential.
It's the inverse of exponential.
Is it?
So logarithmic means that it goes like this. does. And then exponential means it goes like this.
Okay, I might be wrong. Okay, might be,
yeah. Think of, so,
I just wanted to say logarithmic one of them, to make, one of them's like this, to make myself sound smart. Honestly.
Logarithmic, exponential.
I'm going
right?
to go. Google this right now.
Which one is
logarithmic means that it peak, like the gains that you see are initial, and then it starts flattening out. Whereas exponential is the opposite. Oh, it is logarithmic.
Thank you. Okay.
But you were trying to explain exponential. You said the right word, but you were saying the wrong thing.
No, what I'm saying is-
We're professionals.
Like exponential is kind of also a logarithmic kind of-
It's the inverse of a logarithm.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know. Because like-
It's the opposite.
I don't know, man. Either way, it's not linear.
It's not linear. It's in a scale. Yes, yes, Ashley.
Logarithmic functions are the inverses of exponential functions.
So Richter scale is logarithmic?
Richter scale is logarithmic.
So that means that it would the after like 4 or 5, the difference isn't much.
That can't be right.
No.
It goes up this way. Yeah. Exponential goes up this way.
No, it doesn't. Hence the word exponential. It goes exponentially higher.
This kind of just proves my point.
I think I'm right.
No. The original point I was trying to make was that they put it in a scale that is not comprehensible by the normal human person, right. which we are literally proving like right now. You know, you hear like an 8 or 9 on the Richter scale, and you're just like, oh, that's just 1 up from a 7. And I've seen people survive 7s, but your mind can't comprehend the effect, like the tangible effects of just how much larger that is, you know?
That's why
I think they fucked up. Because if you hear like, oh, it was on a scale of like 1,000 on like this earthquake scale, you're like, that's a big number compared to 100, which is what we're technically talking about when we're talking going up from magnitude 7 to a magnitude 8,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think like, I don't know why we went with a logarithmic scale for like disasters when the normal person can't comprehend that amount of difference with just one number, you know?
True.
Yeah. I mean, Khan can't even comprehend what logarithmic and exponential are. So how's he going to comprehend
that? One of us can.
I can. I know what it is. I just I know I'm right. This is insane.
But the Richter scale is a logarithmic scale.
It's logarithmic. Yeah. So that means that there wouldn't be much difference between 8 and 9.
But there is.
Well, the scale says that there isn't, Jay.
Oh, fuck's sake!
Is that right? There's not much of a difference between 8 and 9.
I don't know. But how we experience those numbers are all different though. So it's like
I can't wait for the comments to just tear this conversation apart.
Hi, mathematician here.
I literally had an aneurysm.
I invented the Richter scale.
I'm having an aneurysm.
Technically, it's supposed to indicate an intensity 10 times greater than the previous number.
Yeah, that's what.
But it's also described as a logarithmic scale, so I don't know if they both.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Let me show you a picture of a logarithmic fucking line.
I know what a logarithmic line is, but it doesn't make sense because I've learned that the Richter scale is the higher the number, the bigger the difference in scale.
I thought it was like 10 times the previous number.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, because. Well, I mean, I guess it could be, but also because it goes like this, right?
Right.
So let's say this was like 8. If it was 8, like at the peak or something, it's not going to get much better at 9. Sorry.
Well, then what? Oh my God, I don't know.
So that's... I am confusion.
But also a logarithmic scale also depends on the function you put into it.
That's what I thought. Because a logarithmic scale doesn't necessarily have to look like that. It's just
a scale that's not linear.
Yes, it's not just a non-linear scale. It's so that is a logarithmic.
That can be logarithmic,
and that is also what I understand to be exponential as well. Yeah. That's what I thought.
It's an exponential logarithmic scale.
That's what I thought, at least.
It's an exponential logarithmic.
Yeah.
Oh, because it keeps going up. Okay,
Either way, my original point wasn't the fact that exponentials are the same as logarithmic. That wasn't what I was trying to explain. I was trying to explain I was trying to explain that this shit is too confusing for the normal person to comprehend, which maybe we aren't the normal person. Maybe we're just dumber than a normal
person.
Speak
for yourself.
Maybe we're just dumber than a normal
bottom
person.
Bottom line, you bottom line, you could say that the earthquake yesterday was magnitude 7.
Yeah.
But if you've never been in an earthquake of that magnitude, you're not going to fucking know what that feels like, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys have never been in a magnitude 7. Yesterday was a magnitude, like, 4 max in Tokyo.
Yeah, and like, that's fun zone for me.
Yeah.
I think six sounds scary.
Six. Yeah. I wonder how big the one in LA was that we experienced.
I want to say that was probably around the same, like maybe like a magnitude 4.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Well,
it depends. Like where we were, it didn't feel that bad.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what it is like, even if it goes like, if it's like 10 times more powerful than that.
I mean, I've been in a 6 is the biggest one I've been.
America is the most volcanoes in the world.
Does it?
Not active, but total volcanoes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Just Hawaii? Just
the whole thing. Well, I think Hawaii is a lot of active ones.
Right.
But in general, America's a lot
more than Japan.
Yeah, more volcanoes than Japan.
Wow, I thought Japan had the most.
No,
maybe Japan has the most active ones.
No, that's Indonesia.
Never mind.
I think that is Indonesia.
Japan can't be number one. Well, for
America also has like a massive landmass. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not like surprised about that.
America's the most volcanoes that like aren't active. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then they have like Yellowstone, which is like a ticking time bomb for extinction. You know. It kind of is, right? Yeah. If Yellowstone ever explodes, then humanity fucks.
Same with Mount Fuji, right?
Yeah.
I think as well, if any volcanoes erupt in the Antarctic, I think. I think there's some volcanoes underneath the ice.
Yeah.
And if they explode,
then Antarctica's just gone.
Yeah.
Well, the world's gone. That water's got to go somewhere, Jerry.
It doesn't just go out into space?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Turns into rain?
Gravity's really good at keeping that shit in.
Yeah, which, because yesterday made me wonder, like, it made me appreciate just how prepared are you for a disaster, right? Because
Vsauce
music, right?
Well, we're in the penultimate episode of Earth, I think, right now.
You think?
This is like penultimate episode kind of vibes.
Wait, well, hold on, but like
we got a war going on. We got global warming with the pandemic. The Earth shaking, trying to rip itself apart.
Right.
We're in the
minds were off by a few years. You know when you have like the like when it's like the disaster movie and you have the beginning, the Acts One, where you have all of the indicators that the world is ending, but nobody pays attention to it. I believe like 2020 has like literally been that indicator IRL. Yeah,
quick, take a shot of the seismograph. Crazy. Get that on film.
Yeah, because like I remember like when the lights went out and I was walking around, I was like, okay, if this was like...
That's the title of the movie, When the Lights Went Out.
When the lights went out.
That's the title.
When we lost power. I was just like, it made me think, what if this was like actually just, you know, a super, super serious earthquake and like the power would be out for a time when I didn't know when they would be back on, and
you'd be fine because you have the GigaChad fucking battery,
which is just like I kind of realized how much foreshadowing of I'm gonna call it foreshadowing, right? Because it's basically a Chekhov's gun at this point of items I have collected thanks to Trash Taste that would help me through a disaster, right? So the first thing I realized is our house was the only house on our streets with any lights on. And that's because I had my fucking brick of a power bank that I had accidentally bought for the camping episode, which if you need a flashback, you can here's a thumbnail of the clip of me talking about the brick that I bought by accident for the camping episode.
It wasn't by accident.
But it was, I didn't know it wasn't by accident. Like the script,
he foresaw the script, what was gonna happen.
The script writers for Trash Taste is just like on another level. Like they foreshadowed this like two seasons
Oda
ago.
Eiichiro is writing Gant's life.
So like I remember the lights being off and me thinking, fuck, I do not have any torches or any sources of power. Wait a minute. And I remember I thought I'd never ever actually be able to use it for the use that it was intended for. And luckily I had just charged it like a week before. So like we just plugged, we could literally just plug in our lamps and we just lit up like our bedroom. Like it was just normal.
Plug in your entire house.
Yeah. We could charge our phones and everything. But like beyond that, I was also thinking, what if this was a natural apocalypse and we needed to survive for, you know, a bit longer. And I remember, do we have a good supply of water or supplies to emergency rations to get us through the day? And I was like, wait a minute. I just bought an entire, like me and Sydney both have an entire fridge full of green tea that we bought as like an aesthetic thing for our streams, right? So if you've seen any of my streams or any of my on-camera shots, there's a mini fridge that I have, and that's just full of green tea that could last me for a decent amount of time. And beyond that, I also have a backup, just like an entire crate full of green tea, so I can like constantly refill this up. So unknowingly, just from trying to make something look aesthetic in my background, I'm able to like just survive.
You're pissing survive. So much though.
Yeah. I'm able to survive. And not only that, I'm just like, do we have any food to be able to like last us? I'm like, Sydney's got like 10 months worth of boxes just lying about. So thanks to Boxu, we also have emergency rations as well.
I've got like an emergency kit.
Yeah, so do I.
Got like quite a lot of water.
Mm. You got quite a lot of water?
I've got like that bottle of water that lasts like 4 years or whatever it is.
What?
Yeah, there's like emergency water that Japan makes where it's like water that supposedly lasts emergency like 4 or 5 years. Water?
What do you mean it lasts 4 or 5 years?
It's like been specifically made so that it doesn't go off.
Water can go off?
Yeah, water can go off.
What?
I'm still going to drink that shit.
Well, yeah, water can get stagnant and collect bacteria and stuff, but like they have like special, like it's like AQC, it's called in Japanese.
Well, I've got like, I don't know, like 10 liters of water or something. Mm.
Can bottled water go off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After a while, like after like a year or something.
I mean, you can still drink it. Like,
you can still drink
you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah. I've got like a bunch of food. I've got a wind-up torch. Got some other shit.
Wait, so you actually have an emergency kit?
Yeah.
When did you buy it?
There's some on Amazon.
Yeah.
I just bought one
for a video.
I don't know
if I don't use it, I'll just, whatever. I looked into it. I was like, oh, should I get one of those solar panel battery charging things? Turns out they're like a little bullshit and they like barely work.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and then someone's like, just get a wind up torch. It's like way better. And I got a wind
just
up torch.
Just get the fucking brick shit house battery pack. They can't.
Yeah, but like, you got to keep that thing fully charged. Yeah. Right? If it's in my cupboard for like 12 months, it might have half the charge by the time I go to it.
Yeah, like, half the charge could probably still last you like 6 months.
I'm actually probably going to get like an emergency pack now because I never really thought about it before yesterday. It did humble me a bit. Mm. Just, even though
you're fully prepared.
Even though I am prepared in many ways, thanks to Trash Taste and Trash Taste Lore and just being a content creator. You know, I didn't purposely prepare for it, but.
Sorry, go on.
But I just have a lot of things lying in my house that is useful for survival.
Do you ever watch those videos that are like, what to do if there's a nuke?
Oh yeah.
You're like, all right.
you mean like the lie down with your mouth open kind of thing? Do you know that one?
What's that one? Hold on, tell me this.
Apparently, I saw a video, I don't know how true it is, but apparently it's like what to do if a nuke explodes, like not close enough where it can like immediately kill you, but it's like if like the shockwave could like possibly kill you. And apparently, I don't know if this is true, so please take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But it's like you have to supposedly lie down with your like head facing away from the blast, and you have to have your mouth open because if your mouth is closed, then the shockwave can puncture your lungs. But if the mouth is open, then it lets the air escape from your mouth. Supposedly, that's like a trick that people have just figured out. Again,
mouth breathers rejoice.
We were talking about useless skills, right? I know that little useless skill.
That is
or it could come very useful.
A piece of knowledge you see in one life hack on a YouTube show, and then you immediately forget about it.
Actually, I wouldn't forget that. That's very memorable.
Yeah, I remember. And again, I don't know how true this is. I've never personally experienced anything like that, so I haven't tested it myself.
So if I see a nuke going off, I lie down on the ground.
Yeah, so say if it's coming out from that window over there, you would face that way.
How the fuck would you? Calculations.
Yeah, and yeah, you'd like kind of have your head down and you'd like open your mouth so that the shockwave can go through your body rather than it. Because if it's closed, then it gets closed off and then your lungs get punctured. Right? Oh, it's still going to hurt, but it won't kill you, is the thing.
Oh my God.
I feel like if a nuke's going off, your life's pretty fucked anyway.
Right? Well, I mean, if you're close enough, yeah. Obviously.
I think you have like.
I don't think anyone who was like, oh, here's a nuke.
Oh, right, here's a nuke. Hold on, guys. Guys, I got it.
Open your mouths, guys. Trust me.
Like the next Indiana Jones, he just fucks the fridge and he just turns around and with his mouth open.
No, he's like in the fridge and he's like, oh fuck. I forgot.
That only works. The only reason the fridge technically worked, right, yeah, is because it's a lead fridge, right? They don't make lead fridges anymore.
No, they're not.
So I can imagine a bunch of people jumping in their fridges, and it's like, it's not going to do anything. You just put yourself in a coffin.
Yeah, basically.
You just made it.
You're just going to cook yourself alive.
It was like, they were saying, so you have 15 minutes when the nuke goes off if you're not in the immediate danger zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have 15 minutes before like the fallout reaches the ground level.
Yeah.
So you need to get indoors within 15 minutes and not leave.
Right.
But you still might be dead from the radiation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But obviously, if you get any fallout on you, I think you die.
Yeah, probably.
Radiation sickness sounds horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really. Dude, Chernobyl, man, that HBO series was like rough.
Well, it wasn't just that. I think the one thing that really horrified me was hearing about that Japanese guy who was like, I think he was like the most radioactive person who ever lived.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
like I remember seeing this. I saw a documentary on it.
Was it the one on the fisherman? Is this that one?
I don't think it was a fisherman.
Oh, okay.
He was working for, I believe, a nuclear power plant or something like that. Yeah. So I don't know the full story, but for whatever reason, during a routine maintenance thing when he was handling radioactive material, they made a mistake due to like time constraints and, you know, trying to get this project done faster than usual.
Yeah.
So they were pouring way more radiation material into this tank than was ever allowed by regulations, right?
Yeah.
And you know, obviously a chain reaction happened, something went wrong, and this guy who was literally standing right next to the tank, pouring in this radioactive material, he got hit by the full blast of this chemical reaction that was happening, right? So he was literally the most radioactive person who has ever been documented in history, right?
Damn.
And it's like a fucking horrific story of like, he actually survived it initially, right? He survived it initially and they went to hospital. And he, on the first day, he looked so well that the nurses were like ready to discharge him the next day. That is, until they like looked at his like DNA, and his DNA had been obliterated, like
Jesus,
like fucking obliterated, right? And I don't think like anyone at that point realized the gravity, aside from like the doctors, of course, realized the gravity of just like what was in store for this guy. Because like it got to the point where, because his cells could not make new cells, right? So it got to the point where the doctors were trying to save him because his family and himself wanted, you know, to try everything they could. But I feel like it would have been less painful just to let him pass away.
Because
it got to this point where his body just started deteriorating. His skin would fall off and would start bleeding and pussing. And he'd like, they could do nothing but just bandage him up because there was no way for his body to make new cells. And he basically just deteriorated to death. And it's like, you hear about the accounts of this and it sounds like fucking
That's
horrific,
probably the worst
man.
Way. Worst
sounded
one.
It sounds like one of the worst ways to die.
I was thinking of a different story of like the guy who was like living in Hiroshima during World War II. And then when the bomb dropped, right? And he survived that one. And
yeah, I know
he
this
escaped
one, yeah.
with his family out of Hiroshima to Nagasaki, and then the second bomb dropped, and he survived that one as well. I thought you were talking about that story.
Oh no.
I think
he must have been pretty fucking radioactive after that.
Apparently, I don't know if this is true, but I remember hearing that there's more. It was not just him. There's a few other people as well, but they reckon that maybe 100 or so people had the same experience.
Yeah.
But they just don't know who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, just like. Thinking about
shivers.
It. But,
so there's a YouTuber, I can't remember his name. He talks about a lot of these radiation stories and mistakes and stuff. I can't remember his name. He's he does the science videos as well. Fuck, I can't remember his name. They're really, really good.
Right.
And he's just some other horrible stories about like people doing experiments that went wrong.
There was that other story. I think I know which YouTuber you're talking about.
The amazing hair.
Yeah. Did he make that video on the guy who like stuck his head in the Hadron Collider?
But
he got like shot.
It wasn't
like
a Hadron Collider,
right?
But it was, I think, a similar ish thing. Yeah, he got shot by an atom in the head.
And it like penetrated his brain and he survived it. But and then there was some like mix up where they thought he was alive.
He has like amazing hair. He's got like a lion's mane. This guy's amazing.
Not the guy who got shot, the guy who makes the YouTube videos.
I was about to say, like, is this
Kyle Hill.
Is this some new kind of like therapy to give you like amazing hair? Just get you shot by an asshole.
Are you experiencing hair loss? Boom! Shot.
You've definitely seen this thumbnail. It's called The Demon Core. You seen this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one's a good video. Yeah, yeah. That was a horrible story there. So yeah. People fucking around with this thing, and then it goes wrong, and then like all the scientists die. What's the Demon Core? It was this like nuclear active core.
It's always nuclear.
It was, I can't remember exactly what it was. Watch the video. It's really good. And it was just talking about the story, and there's really strange. Mm. Sometimes you just think like, why? Just leave it. Just don't.
What happened with the guy who got shot by a Datsun?
He survived.
Did he survive? He survived, but then he unsurprisingly developed these like really weird like brain traumas and
he survived. He definitely survived.
Yeah, he survived for a while, I believe. But like he lost all of his hair and then he just had all these like weird brain complications that the doctors were like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. Yeah.
He's currently 79 years old and living.
79 years old and living. Yeah, okay. What a fucking badass title. Got shot by an atom.
Yeah, yeah. So we know that 100% of the time, as we know, when you put a head in
a Hadron Collider,
you survive. Yeah. We have 100% survival rate. Yeah. We know that.
Oh, I'll fucking stick my head in there like tomorrow.
Jump in the Hadron Collider real quick.
I think there's been other cases as well where people get the, what's the thing that powers x-rays? I think there's like something. It was one case. I don't know if it was x-ray exactly, but there's a medical device.
Mm. Yeah.
And some people broke into an abandoned hospital.
Right.
Like stole this thing.
Right.
And they just thought it was some kind of like cool glowing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out that cool glowing thing was like radioactive, like uranium or something. And I could be mixing up two stories together here. It's on his channel as well. And really weird.
And now they're the Teenage Mutant.
Well, like, I think like the whole, it might be a different story actually, but yeah. Like the whole village, they were like, everyone come check out the glowing stones.
Oh no.
No joke. And people were all touching it and playing with it. Ugh. And like a whole family and a few other people died because they were just touching and playing with the stone.
Fucking hell.
Let me peek.
All right.
Don't ever touch glowing stones, kids.
If it's glowing, that's probably a bad sign that a chemical reaction is happening there that you shouldn't be holding, right?
Cursed glow sticks. Cursed glow sticks are making us think that the things that glow are so cool. God damn it. This video is sponsored by Boxu. Boxu here is a monthly snack box subscription service that delivers premium Japanese snacks and tea pairings straight from Japan to your door. Every single beautiful Boxu here has their very own gourmet theme that changes every single month. The first Boxu that you will receive is called the Seasons of Japan, curated by their snack experts to bring you a taste of Japan's four seasons and taste what a year of Boxu would be like. Following the Seasons of Japan, you will receive a new beautiful snack box just like this one, themed every single month. And this theme is Tanjoubi, which if you don't know in Japanese, just means birthday. And there is snacks in this book from every single part of Japan. I've had these before, which are delicious. And a bunch of these I've had before, but some of these I've never seen before. And of course, there's a tea pairing with it. So if you want to try some of the authentic Japanese snacks in here and support me and the boys, you can do so right now. Just smash that link in the description down below. And when you're there, use coupon code TRASHTASTE15 to get $15 off your first Boxu order.
Do you guys reckon you could survive the zombie apocalypse?
No.
Although maybe.
Bro, they got Uber Eats still going? If not, no, I'm done. What's the point? What's the point, dude?
It is, but he's also a zombie.
Yeah.
It's like,
like, do you want to survive a zombie apocalypse?
I don't know.
It depends where you are, right? Like, if you're in an area that's just like, you're the only one remaining, there's just zombies fucking clawing at your apartment or whatever, then it's just like, just take it.
At that point, I'm just like, okay, well, the world's fucked anyway, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I feel like a zombie apocalypse wouldn't be that hard to survive.
That's what I'm like. That's my biggest, like, unless it depends on the type of zombie, right? Because if you're talking about like the traditional really slow fucking zombie that fucking walks at, like, 1 mile an hour, I'm just like, how did this become an apocalypse in the first place? How are people this incompetent that, like, this became an actual apocalypse?
It's because in all those movies, they're just like, no, don't come near, while they're standing still, right? Yeah. It's like, no.
If it's 28 days later, all right. Now I get how it could become a fucking.
If we're like talking like COD zombies, then it's like, yeah, I'm fucked.
But I feel like, you know how like some of the movies they manage to make like villages that are like really tall walls and no one can get in and stuff. I feel like that would be
If I've learned anything easy from Dead Rising, it's just stay in a mall.
Yeah, yeah. I hit them with a foam bat. Combined with a chainsaw.
Hit him with a bench.
Put the machine guns on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then drive the wheelchair.
I feel like if a zombie apocalypse ever did happen, that's the one place where, you know, being in America would be a massive fucking advantage. Because you think about how easy it is to gain access to weapons here in Japan.
Until the zombies learn about those and they're like, we can use this too.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, because you can just go to like North Dakota and there's no one there.
Oh, that's true. That's
escape
true.
To Wyoming.
Oh, you're in Idaho? Oh, zombies actually don't want to go there.
Yeah. They're like, go to the border. Like,
Yeah, I mean, that's the one place where if you have a gun, it will be like very, very useful.
Sure.
Like, yeah, but I mean,
you're assuming guns will stop zombies.
Exactly.
That is true.
Games have led us to believe that it's like, do you want to kill a zombie? Just get good at headshots. But it's like, realistically, will it actually kill a zombie?
How much ammo can you really get a hold of? Resident Evil got one thing right. It'd be fucking annoying to be like conserving your ammo with this shit.
I would be that guy where you have-
Oh my God, shoot it. God's like, oh, sorry, man, I got 4 bullets.
I wouldn't be like, a zombie could be right in front of me and I'd be like searching for like an axe or something. Be like, I don't need to shoot a zombie. I don't need to shoot a zombie. You know, maybe I'll need this ammo for like the boss battle, whatever that
Katana
is.
Katana collection boys are winning, that's for sure.
I would do anything I could, even if I had a gun, to not use a gun, just in case.
Hold on, I gotta go back to the safe room to buy my balls.
Probably, honestly, the best thing you could probably have is just having a medieval set of armor and weapons.
Yeah, like a sword.
How the fuck are they gonna bite you?
Yeah,
when you're wearing a full like chainmail and you've got a big ass long sword.
That's
I think
true.
You're good. I think
yeah.
you're good. Those chants on YouTube, the ones you're talking about, the correct sword techniques, they're gonna be the real winners.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I've always like struggled to figure out, right? Like the video game logic of, yeah, just shoot them in the head and it'll stop them. And I'm like, but they're dead already. why would they die like a normal human being?
I mean, it depends how the zombies function.
Yeah,
right.
If it's a parasite taking over the body.
Yeah, we're talking about fake science now. could be any sort of reason or any
but
sort
like,
of way
if you
to
just
kill
like,
a zombie.
You know, if you have a fucking katana or something and you just like, you know, chop their body into bits, then they can't do anything, right? Even if they're still alive.
You gonna chop someone's body in a bitch show? You know how long that's gonna take?
How long is it gonna take for one zombie, Joe?
You're gonna be knackered.
This is a zombie apocalypse, Joe.
I take him out one at a time, you know?
Joe's gonna like need to sit down and have a breather when he's done.
Like, it's like, hold on.
Yeah. Sure, Joey thinks the katana works like it does in anime, where he just like does like the fucking sword thing and like the zombies in 100 pieces.
That's true. All right. You know what? Guns are the boy.
Flamethrower is pretty good, right?
Flamethrower, yeah.
Is a flamethrower an actual good weapon, or is it just like an aesthetic weapon?
It's a very good weapon. It's a waste of money, but I mean, if you hit someone with it, they die. Can't.
But wouldn't
I know that? But
yeah, but
wouldn't
the fuel for a flamethrower take be more scarce than bullets?
Yeah, surely there's more effective weapons, and like it looks cool and it's effective. But surely there's more efficient weapons, I should say, than a flamethrower.
It's like wildly inefficient. But like, if you hit someone, I think with it, I think they just because like the ones that like I think like Elon Musk sells, for example.
Yeah,
that's basically just like hairspray with a lighter.
Yeah.
But I think the original ones in like World War II were like, they would actually shoot out oil on fire.
Yeah.
Because you could see the streams of liquid.
Yeah.
So they would land and hit. Well, like, and obviously if you get hit with that, that's just going to like burn through.
Of course. But like what I'm trying to say is you have two guys. One person has a flamethrower. One person has a gun. I think the person with the gun is going to win, come out of that battle, right?
Yeah, but you're not fighting. You're fighting a zombie.
That's true. Okay.
I feel like your goal is to make it so the zombie can't move. What a weird topic. I feel like your goal, because you don't even know if you can kill it. What if the gun doesn't work?
What if the zombie doesn't feel the heat?
But what if you burn off like his legs?
But you could just chop off his legs as well.
Are you going to chop off his legs?
I don't know.
Are you going to be hacking away? How long is that going to take?
Joey's just living like the anime dream of like using his katana now.
I just want to be Kirito, okay? I admit it.
Listen, if you
I just want to come out and fucking do this.
If you just
Joey
like,
wants to like dual wield the swords.
If you just burned off his arms and legs, he wouldn't be able to move.
I just want to be guts. Okay, what about like chainsaw then?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel that'd be more.
Gears of War's pretty got that right.
Yeah.
Also, but I wonder. No. Yeah. I wonder if like bones would like clog a chainsaw or do anything. Probably not, because I think trees are stronger than bones, I think.
Are they?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, we don't build houses out of bones, gone.
Well, that's because we don't farm. We don't really farm bones, yes, do we? Yes.
We don't have a forest full of bones that we can farm and build houses out of.
That sounds like
Connor.
An aesthetic. Build a house out of bones, dude. That sounds fucking badass. That's like a Tim Burton movie.
That's what you can do, right, in the zombie apocalypse. You collect the limbs and you just take the bones out and just make a house out of it. There you go, problem solved. Recycling in the zombie apocalypse.
The one thing the zombies can't penetrate, a house full of bones.
Yeah, because they'd be like, oh, you're just one of us with a few extra bones. I'm not going to need that.
Yeah, I think in some countries as well, you're not allowed to fill up a gas canister as well. I think it's illegal. So you wouldn't be able to get a stockpile of gas.
Because it turns into a weapon?
Normally it is when the government is concerned that your population might be making... weapons.
Right.
Oh, cocktails, okay.
Molotov cocktails.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Will they care during a zombie apocalypse is the question.
No, true. But
they're not going to be
step number one, you've got to get a container. And number two, you're probably not going to be the first guy at the gas station. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Okay. We've seen it when gas prices, when we hear about gas shortages, everyone goes.
Yeah.
It's already too late. But I guess that's the first thing you should do in any apocalypse. You immediately go to the gas place and get it. I don't even have a car, but I'm getting the gas.
Yeah, I'm getting gas.
Because I know I'm going to be king when people want gas. I'm like, well, I can give you it. And I have four tanks in the back.
That's true.
I'm like covered in like fucking black smut.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because like I feel like part of the reason why it's so hard to get people to take action over, I don't know, like real life apocalypses that could be happening right now is because real life apocalypses sound so fucking boring. The temperature of the earth slowly changing by a few degrees every year and we need to do the best to it. Like that sounds so boring, like compared to like we're being invaded by a horde of zombies and only you can take them on with it.
Global warming is the least sexy apocalypse.
Yeah, right?
Right? Let's be honest. The Chad
versus like
everyone
virgin
wants,
apocalypse.
Everyone likes the zombie thing because they think that they're gonna become the Chad who games the system, becomes the king.
Because it's all in video games, right? Like when have you heard of a fucking video game where you have to fight global warming?
Maybe we need that.
Yeah, we need that.
We need that in real life.
I mean, let's be honest, right? I think in a zombie apocalypse, you're going to die from another person, not a zombie.
The people who made Dead Rising just need to make like Heat Rising.
Right now.
Something like that.
You go to prison for 20 years if you kill someone. And people still do it. In a zombie apocalypse, there's not going to be any punishment. People are going to start killing everyone.
That's true.
Everyone's going to be like, oh my God, I that one guy pissed me off on the train. I'm going to go find him.
Yeah. I feel during a zombie apocalypse, everyone's just going to be so on edge that you're probably going to get killed by another human before you get killed by a zombie.
There's no way anyone would admit to being bitten. Like, no. I thought everyone who didn't admit to being bitten in a zombie movie was the asshole. Mm. But in reality, we've been through a pandemic now. That's just like most of the human race at this point.
Yeah,
like,
true.
If you got it, like,
you'd also probably have to kill other people as well.
Yeah, of course.
If you want to get their stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's just a battle royale now.
If Fortnite has taught me anything, kill them.
If that old grandma has a full supply of water and food, I'm sorry.
The Zoomers are ready, man. Fortnite has trained them how to kill.
Just border up the fucking house in 2 minutes.
So the apocalypse happens, and you just hear. With like,
dude, we're fucked. We live in like Japan. The last person you ever go against in a video game is like 16-year-old Asian kids because they're just insane. We'll be killed.
Sure.
They're like challenger rank, and we're like trying to figure out what's going on. And they've already built a fortress.
They've been perfectly trained by Fortnite and Minecraft to build the perfect fortress.
Unironically, these kids would have somewhat of an understanding of basic survival needs because of Minecraft.
Yeah, more than us. Right? You're actually right. That's hard to think about.
Oh my God.
They know how to craft all the materials.
It's not good, but it offers something.
Yeah, it offers something.
They at least know that coal can be turned into charcoal.
Yeah.
That's useful to know.
Because we're talking about going back to useless skills. Like, I think, I feel like I should know more survival skills than I do, you shouldn't. Why?
I mean, I've seen you.
God, you're like, please.
I've seen you try to start a fire with a piece of flint. That didn't go well.
That's why I feel like I need to learn more survival skills than I already do.
Would you ever get a bunker? Like a bunker in your house?
Like a bomb bunker?
Yeah, like a shelter.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, but you, if you're like traveling a bunch for your work, it's useless.
Yeah, yeah it is, but it just cool, you know. I wouldn't want a bunker for emergencies. I would just want a bunker because it's just cool to have like a secret bunker.
Have you seen that guy on YouTube who's building one?
Yeah.
He's built like a whole bunker underneath his house.
Yeah, underneath his garden.
There's actually one company in Japan that can build bunkers.
How much is a bunker?
It's like, it depends on the size, but it's like $50,000 or something.
Can we build a bunker?
If you have
trash
like
trash taste,
trash taste bunker,
trash taste emergency bunker.
God, we need land.
Yeah, you need the land.
You don't have land, God. None of us own land.
Buy the land first, and you can do whatever the fuck you want with it.
Yet.
That's what I'm gonna do. If I ever buy land in the future, here, I'm like, fuck the house, build a bunker.
Who needs
first.
A sound
Honestly,
proof,
there's just something about the idea of building a bunker that just like, no matter how old you are, it just fulfills like this childhood dream.
It's like a treehouse, right?
It's like, it's kind of like the next level treehouse, right?
It's kind of like exciting. It's like your kind of place.
Yeah, it's like it's like a secret base, right?
Yeah, just imagine.
Wait,
like,
what's the difference between a basement and a bunker?
Huh?
A basement is just like an underground, like I think a bunker is supposed to be like secured.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
like
secure.
You can
survive there. You know, a basement is just a room.
There's tons of basements in London. It's like three story,
but they're not bunkers.
But they're not bunkers.
But like, you know? if they're like three levels deep, which some of these basements are.
Well, when I think of a bunker,
if you're a three level deep, maybe that's you
can
good,
like
right?
maybe you can convert that into a bunker. But when I think bunker, I don't just think a room. You know, I think like a sizable amount of secret space that's secure.
I think like the only way to get in is through a hatch. You know, like that's what I think when I think
bunker. Right.
Not like a welcome to the bunker.
Open the plywood door.
That's not a bunker, you know?
Move the ethnic looking beads out of the way to get into the room, the bunker.
Place the book in the bookshelf.
I really want a basement. I just want to have a basement.
I want a bunker.
No, you want a basement.
Did you ever have like a treehouse or anything like that as a kid growing up?
Who the fuck had a treehouse?
That's what I'm saying.
No
like,
one had a treehouse.
A treehouse was this mythical thing that some kids talked about, but I'd never known a single person who had a treehouse.
My friend had a treehouse.
Yeah, because
he had a treehouse.
Because there's always that one kid who is that one dad who's like never tired after work and actually wants to do shit and actually get shit done.
It was the one dad that worked from home.
Oh, okay.
It was the one dad that worked from home.
Checks out. Also, the construction dads.
Yep. That was my dad.
Oh, they get shit done.
Yeah. My friend had it wasn't like a massive like fucking Simpsons treehouse looking thing. Literally like enough to maybe fit like 2 5-year-olds in. Like it was very like an adult would not be able to fit in that. Like
why a treehouse? I've always wondered why
it feels like you're one with nature.
Because it's just kind of cool to be able to like sit comfortably.
Those poor trees we
on a tree.
Yeah,
we mock it by taking its own kind and fashioning it into a house and putting it on top of it. How cruel of us. How cruel.
It's kind of like building a house out of bones. Right?
No, actually, a dog house. A dog house.
A dog house made out of dog bones? Yeah. Fucking
it's
hell.
It's actually kind of true, though. When you put it like that.
Why do we not have-
It's kind of fucked up.
Google, are there any houses made out of bones? Can we fact check that? Tim Burton must have a house made out of bones. I refuse to believe.
If anyone is going to have a house out of bones, it's Tim Burton.
I want to build a bunker now. I just want to build a space. Right? I do want a basement. Let's just start off with a basement. Right?
Did you not have a basement?
No, I've never had a basement.
Sorry.
Sorry?
Going back to another question, I'm ignoring your basement.
Yeah.
Which one of us would survive the longest in a zombie or some kind of apocalypse, do you think? And why?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I feel Gaunt would trust someone to be betrayed by them.
I feel you would just be like, I'll be the alpha male and just go out immediately, just get killed.
That's so right. That's so true.
You'd be like, out of the way, boys, I got this. Nah.
I feel like you would come up with like the perfect plan of how to survive the zombie apocalypse.
And then not follow that plan.
And then you'd somehow like overlook something at step one. out of confidence or something.
I feel like Jay wouldn't realize the apocalypse is going on.
Yeah. The moment I would realize.
Oh, sorry, mate. So I was playing Final Fantasy.
The moment when I realized is when you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, I turned up to the dress station.
I was like, where is everyone? God. Must be the wrong day.
God's too busy meditating watching Pokemon.
I'll just escape to my mind palace. Just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like we have different varying degrees of survival instincts, but I don't feel any one of our survival instincts is particularly strong either. I mean, I guess, well, maybe we should do a survival special.
I feel the best way to determine how someone would survive in a zombie apocalypse is how they play Dead Rising. Because what? I think
no, it is not.
Because
you're talking out of your ass.
No, because I feel like people who are just like, I'm just gonna fucking pick up something and charge right into the crowd are the people who would not survive a zombie apocalypse.
Like pick up what? A newspaper?
Yeah.
Why would anyone go into a newspaper?
Like, I'm gonna pick up this tennis ball, see how much damage it does to the zombies. That's the kind of person who would just be like, charge.
I don't think anyone's doing that much. I don't know, like everyone. I don't know what I'd do in a zombie apocalypse. I mean, everyone would
cry.
Like, yeah, just cry.
Just cry.
Just camp and like...
break down and cry.
I mean, you just try to stay in like the same place for as long as possible.
I think you'd have to find a sidekick as soon as possible.
A sidekick? Well, like listen, Robin.
Listen, if you're gonna survive, you need to become the main character. How do you become the main character? By getting a sidekick. Right, you get a sidekick.
You gonna run around in like the fucking apocalypse town and be like, who wants to be my sidekick?
You know,
if you like to survive, come with me.
POV, you're just walking around. You're like, all right, a zombie is about to kill this 10-year-old kid.
Yeah,
you save the kid. You're like, all right, fine, I'll look after you. Now you're the main character.
Yeah, but then you have to take care of a fucking 10-year-old.
Yeah, I mean that obviously is the downside. But then if something happens.
You can just chuck the 10-year-old. You're like, sidekick, do your job.
Good bait, isn't it?
Because he's only 10 years old, so he doesn't need as much food as a full adult. So then when you... you can make him go and like lookout or something, I don't know.
Right, so just bait.
I think like finding a kid and then making him like do all the tedious tasks... it's probably a good idea.
But what just sounds like a parent at that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but but also you won't be. You'd get some tangible benefit. But whereas in real life, you don't. He just fucks off and then goes to Moose to Japan and doesn't contact you for months.
Okay. Not a zombie apocalypse. What if it was like you're in Lost or something?
Okay.
You
know, okay.
You're stranded on a desert island. Who would survive the longest?
On a desert island?
Yeah. You're in Lost. You've seen Lost, right?
Probably, probably me because I'm the most familiar with like
maybe
wildlife and just like dangerous shit.
I'm just
just the Aussie advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
I would definitely.
Like, all right, dickheads, out of the way.
I would definitely eat something and die. I would probably. I would get food poisoning.
Yeah, you would get food poisoning. No, it's not an illness. It's not an illness.
I'm not sick.
I'm not sick.
I'm not sick. I can still go out spear fishing.
The one time Connor learns that food poisoning is an illness.
It's a poisoning, God. Hence why it's called food poisoning.
Oh my God.
I see the reason why I think. You would have an easier time surviving the zombie apocalypse because you almost get a tangible benefit from being an asshole, and being a piece of shit.
Yeah,
but in the desert island, you have to actually work together.
Yeah, because if you're the asshole, then you're the one that's going to be exiled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need as much help as you can get.
Joey's like a few steps ahead where I think you have like a fucking society now.
Well, yeah, of course.
I'm like Lord of the Flies. Like,
you just don't want to be exiled, man. I was thinking about how to start a fucking fire before getting exiled.
To the other side of the island with you.
On a desert island, right? You can't steal people's food or whatever, right? You have to work together.
Yeah.
On a zombie apocalypse, you can just go steal someone's house. Go and,
That's true.
Sorry, go steal their stuff from their house.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, but...
you're very limited on an island, right?
Yeah, you got to work together.
You can't really hide on an island.
One of you fishes, one of you doesn't make a fire.
Yeah. And one makes a house full of bones.
This conversation is making me like want to just learn a lot more survival tips and survival instincts that I don't know now. Because
just drink your own piss.
Have you done that?
Thank you. Very
I do it all the time just to get ready. just in case. You never know.
Just put it through a Brit filter, innit? That'll sort out. I
watched the Survival Man thing. He was like, even if you're on like a raft in the ocean, yeah, you should never drink your own piss.
It's really?
Apparently you should never drink your own pee.
Why?
See, like,
apparently it's even if you're super dehydrated, apparently it just makes it worse.
But that's so conflicting because it's either everything I've seen about drinking your own piss is either never drink your piss or always drink your piss.
It is never, true. No, I agree. It's weird. I've actually had the same thought where I'm like, this is so conflicting. One minute Bear Grylls is absolutely like smashing his own piss down like it's a beverage.
Wouldn't recommend, 10 out of 10.
And then there's another time where it's like, absolutely do not drink your own piss ever.
I just wasn't expecting that. Oh, you think on like the scale of there should be like a drink pissing scale.
There should be like a
middle. There should be a middle ground on whether we should be drinking piss or not.
There is a lot of misinformation about pee drinking that I think needs to be corrected.
There
is
never
like
a video that I have seen where the guy's like, you may consider drinking your piss. It's always
like you think under certain circumstances, maybe you should be able to drink piss.
I think it's about filtering it. You need to find a way to filter it. I distinctly remember there's one time where
he
pissed in a snake.
Right? While it was alive?
Not while it was alive. Not while it was alive. Can you Google this? I think it was a dead snake that he'd killed. I think, can you Google this? Yeah. And he turned it into like a water sack.
Right.
And I think, I don't know how... I don't know how...
This just sounds like a meme.
This does.
It's like a parody of a Bear Grylls video.
Yeah, and I think it filters it or something, somehow, or makes it somewhat edible, or I don't know.
Was it Bear Grylls who used condoms as like a device to hold water? Or am I just like...
It probably, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why that.
Wait, but like, why would he have condoms?
Bear Grylls, you turned to a desert island with condoms. Oh, have a seat. Have a seat, Bear Grylls. You brought Hard Mike's lemonade and condoms to that deserted island, huh?
Look, now what do we have here? It's the condom tree. I don't know if there's like a condom off this.
This sounds like a cyanide and happiness skit.
I don't know why I've heard that. Yeah, condoms condoms are very useful for holding bodies of water in case you need to survive. I don't know who said that to me or if it's Bear Grylls or not, but I'm
wasn't
just
that
like
just like a YouTube challenge?
It's gonna be real annoying getting that lube out of that condom, man. Why are we pissing in the snake again? What was the purpose?
To survive?
He said to have required the additional liquid as a last resort for whatever reason.
So basically survival instincts, which is what we're arguing here. I'm not saying like you should drink your piss on a Sunday morning. I'm saying
they had giant tortoises still. I have 1 liter.
That's what I was saying. I'm going on a desert island. I'm hoping it's the one desert island that has the last remaining giant tortoise.
That question of like, what do you bring to a deserted island? One giant tortoise,
A family of giant tortoises that I can breed so I can sustain myself forever.
Oh my god. Have you guys seen like Nathan? Like, talk about piss drinking. Have you guys ever seen Nathan for You?
No.
Oh, is it the one where he like tries to fix their business or something?
Yeah, it's one where he tries to fix their
business.
Oh, I
thought this
business,
is really good. I really want to watch it.
It is a really good show. So it's kind of like, I don't know what the actor's name, but the character he plays is Nathan. And he tries to fix these businesses with like the most like, out of the box dumb idea possible, right? And like part of like what makes the show funny is him pitching these ideas, these failing businesses. So it's kind of like, you know, like what Sacha Baron Cohen does. Like he puts people in ridiculous situations and sees how they react, right? And I think like one of my favorite TV moments of all time was possibly like the only time that I've seen him like break character or almost break character, because he was talking to this guy, this old guy, and he randomly, I can't remember the exact context of the conversation, but he randomly brings up like piss, like a jar of piss or something, right? Just to try and shock the guy.
Okay.
And the guy goes, oh yeah, like I drink jar of pisses all the time. and you could tell like it was like the most unscripted amazing piece of moment on TV I've ever seen, where Nathan's like, what did you just say? And he's just like, yeah, like sometimes like I I have like my grandchildren's piss just lying about. Sometimes I take a swig and you need to watch this clip. Like, cause it in context is hilarious. Out of context, it's still hilarious. It's the only time this like Nathan comes close to like breaking character because he's hearing something so shocking.
Why is it that it immediately in my head I was like, drinking your own piss? Haha, hilarious. Drinking your children's piss? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, as if it's like worse.
You're just completing the cycle of life. Yeah. They came out of you.
You're going back in.
You're taking it back.
So fucked up.
That's disgusting.
Oh, gross.
Okay, anyway. So you go to a desert island.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. You're on the plane that Wilson's on.
Mm.
And what three items do you bring?
I think his name was Wilson, was it?
No, but the ball's name was Wilson.
Yeah,
was
on the plane. Tom Hanks' character, right? Yeah.
No, that wasn't his name. It was the ball's name. Wilson.
Yeah, I know. But oh, okay. You're talking about Tom Hanks' character,
who
right?
Who cares about him? Yeah. Well, Wilson was the star. Okay. So you can bring three items to survive. What are you bringing?
Firestarter?
come on.
No. What? That's a waste of an item. Just
why
learn
is it a waste
there.
Of an item?
Learn there.
What if? Okay, we're not counting giant toilets.
Okay, you can't bring a giant toilet. Okay. That's it. That's finite. Gone. It's gonna run out. Yeah. You should get something
just
more,
like flint or something.
Yeah. Well, the flint's gonna run out too, eventually.
I guess.
But like, okay, but
you
like,
shouldn't rely on that.
You shouldn't. Mm. Okay. Assuming we're going now, right? Without prior knowledge that we're gonna be crashing.
No, you're gonna be going like the Big Brother or some shit. You're gonna be sent to this desert island.
A tent.
Okay. You can take a tent.
Yeah. I would take a tent because I'm not fucking collecting bones to make a house. Fuck that.
Just collect leaves, right? Just
that thing.
Just fashion your own tent.
I would love to see you try and build a house with leaves, then.
Okay. Let's tear his things down at the end. And what are the other two?
A knife.
Okay, I think that's valid. Yeah, that's very valid.
And a nice book. A nice book.
So he's gonna die day one. He's gonna accidentally cut his tent and then rip the book in half out of anger
and then stab myself.
Yeah. Oh god. What do you get?
I would bring a knife, a water filter that can filter salt water to
smart.
Water.
Smart.
Mm. Onto those lamps.
But you can do that with a leaf,
huh?
You can do that with a leaf, right?
It's just pissing a snake.
Just drink your piss.
And my grandchild's jar of piss. Of course.
Just in case I run out.
Just in case.
I think the one big thing you'd want to take is probably a fishing net.
I thought that as well. I was like, fishing rod or fishing net.
Yeah. You'd probably want a really nice sized fishing net.
Sure.
Yeah. It'd probably make your life a lot easier.
Mm.
True.
Or maybe
true.
Like a fishing spear.
So I feel like a knife you can just make. You could make like a caveman-esque one.
Like a sharp rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do that and that would do
maybe,
you need
but
to
I
do.
Feel like a knife would make things a lot easier.
I think
but
axe
you can,
would
but
be
using
better,
the
though.
Knife, you can make more knives. Yeah. Right? How are you going to start by making the knife to begin
yeah,
with?
Yeah, it's the first knife that's like going to be the hardest to make unless you're like that one guy on YouTube who made like the knife out of cardboard. Or something like
the
a
knife out of air.
Damascus yeah, leaf it, knife yeah, or something shit like that.
If you're with that.
That
one Japanese dude on the island, you'll be like, can I have a knife? He's like, which one?
What do you got?
which genome of tree do you want? I'll make it. Can I take a boat? Like a really nice yacht.
Like, I'll just take my $6 million mansion.
Hey, if I'm pretty sure some of these like rich billionaires would do it. Why can't I do it?
Well,
no one said the scale of items I can bring. Why can't I bring a boat?
Well, then I'll bring a jet and get the fuck out.
Let's assume it's like a Minecraft sandbox where there's no end to the ocean.
It just goes on forever.
But I would like the boat just to be
I'll
able
just
to
bring a house then. With I'll just bring a city.
How are you gonna bring the house, Carl? How are you gonna bring a house?
On a boat.
No, you cannot. You cannot bring a house.
I'll fucking.
What if it's a houseboat?
I'll fucking float in Upstar with a fucking bunch of balloons, Connor. Like you're just making up rules as we go along here. So I'm just gonna make up rules.
I think it's perfectly
as well.
Reasonable that you can sail a boat to a desert island.
Well, then
I don't see why this is not fair.
Well, then you wouldn't need anything else because you could just fucking go back to the mainland with the boat.
No one said you have to stay there, Joey.
Oh my god. The implication was you had to stay there and survive.
Okay. If I'm staying there and surviving,
yeah.
The entire Magic Mike collection on DVD.
Never get bored.
A DVD player. and a monitor with a solar power.
laptop with a 3060 in it. My entire gaming setup.
A supercomputer chip, because I'll be the only one who has them, apparently.
Oh my god.
Okay, what would I actually bring?
What would you actually bring?
Probably a fishing net.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like I could make a spear out of something, but I also think that is a lot of work and I'd rather just catch the fish easy. Because I'm going to die pretty soon if I don't get this food.
Yeah, true.
So I got a fishing net.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota Prius would be very economical.
They take a sick beach shot. Yeah.
What else? Okay, what's like the perfect strat? What's the optimized strat? A net's pretty good. Knife is shit. Don't bring a knife. What a fucking waste.
I feel like a knife enables you to make more tools needed to survive.
Faster
like
as well.
Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah. So a fishing net and a knife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think fishing net and a knife is like the go-to.
Like, because you can make a knife, but like... Like in order to craft a knife, I feel like that would take a lot of effort, but a knife is so useful that it can help you craft other tools.
I think fast as well.
I feel like a wind-up torch would be super useful, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because like, let's be honest here. You're not going to fucking do that Indiana Jones shit.
With the fire.
It's not going to work.
Why?
How are you going to make that? You don't have oil.
Huh?
Those are like oil rags soaked in like a ball.
Yeah.
You can't make one of those normally.
I just sweat onto it.
I don't know how you'd make that. How would you make one of those things?
Maybe like, I don't know. There's maybe like some life hack where you use like tree sap or some shit, you know?
But like, do you really want to be fucking around harvesting tree sap when you could-
Well, you're probably going to be harvesting other shit, right?
But like, what would you want to be doing in the nighttime anyway? Because if you're stuck on a desert island, it's going to be pretty dangerous.
Maybe you see something. Maybe you want to-
Well, if I see something-
Oh, also rope. Rope, actually. I don't want to make my own rope.
Oh, that's true.
Like like a good fucking rope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a really good rope.
But I feel like rope is. I mean, rope is obviously useful. If you only.
Do you know how to make rope?
Huh?
Do you know how to make a rope?
I don't. But do you know how to make a fire?
I can learn how to make a fire.
Do you know how to make a knife?
Yeah, I can make a knife. Stop bashing shit together. Listen,
but like, if you can learn how to make a fire, you can learn how to make rope, right?
No, I feel
that's different.
No,
that's
rope
different.
Is so hard. You've got to make these like individual strands, and then I don't even know how you do that. And then you have to start wrapping that. Do you know what makes a rope?
I swear to God.
What is the base ingredient to a rope?
Base ingredient.
What is a rope?
I swear to God, I've seen like ropes on YouTube, like YouTube tutorials being made by like massive leaves and like they.
Yeah, it's like tiny strands, and then you like kind of braid them together. Yeah.
Are you really going to want to like, you know, rely on that though? Like, when it breaks, like, fuck's sake.
What if the rope you bring breaks?
How would you break a rope, Gant?
With a knife.
Why would you be doing
what
this?
What do you mean, how do you break a rope? How does any rope break?
You must be trying really hard to break this rope.
Okay, how much rope are we talking about?
Like, as much rope as you want.
Well, give me a length.
An infinite amount of rope.
You can have an infinite amount of rope.
Well, then I'll bring an infinite amount of knives.
You can. What is more than one knife going to do?
I will tie the rope on one side of like the fucking city I'm leaving from, and then I'll fucking...
Go back then, home.
Yeah, and then I'll just like rope myself back home. Like, what?
God, you could barely cycle across the Shimonami Kaido. How are you going to pull yourself back via rope?
I would be interested to do like not a complete like a desert island survival.
Okay, we should
special.
Do this.
We should do a survival
where game. We take the items that we said. I'll take a rope, a fishing net, and a knife, and you can take
knife. It was knife.
Knife, tent, and a nice book.
That's right. Knife, tent, and a nice book.
A tent would probably come pretty useful. Yeah. Gant would take nothing. He's an idiot.
Water filter for salt water, and you didn't mention the last one.
I said five starter.
Fire starter.
That's what I would take.
what would you use to start the fire though with the fire starter?
What do you mean?
Because usually fire starters work because you already have like a pre-existing light, right? Yeah. So where are you gonna get that from?
No, like there's fire starters kits available that make it easier to start a fire than, you know, using the raw materials there.
Right.
But getting that initial spark is the hard part, right?
Right.
I mean, have you guys ever made a fire before?
Once.
Yeah, once.
When?
Like ages ago? When
I did the fucking the
yeah,
stick
I did the rope
the
one.
Stick one.
Yeah, I did the rope. And
where did you learn how to do that?
When we had like those like not scout
I had like
things,
a school camp like, thing. Yeah, like a camping thing.
See, I never got taught this in school at all. Like I never had like a fucking Like a, see, a if you survival?
Had rope, if you had rope gone, you could make that fire a lot easier.
How much rope are we talking? How thick is this rope?
I would probably side with a thicker rope though, actually. So it wouldn't work. But you could also, the good thing about rope is that you could, let's say if you had a really long rope, just cut a piece and then start peeling off the individual strands that make the thick rope. And then you got a small rope. Now Shaq did it. He did this.
Right.
This is just three idiots talking about surviving on a, three idiots with zero survival knowledge talk about surviving on a desert island.
Now I just want to do a video where we should try and do it.
Would you move into a house you know someone died in?
No.
Yeah.
No.
If it's a fucking steal.
Wait, okay, hold on. Depends. How did they die? Because if they died from like natural causes, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh my okay. God.
But if it's like a brutal murder, then no.
Okay. But why though? Why?
It is literally all bone.
Oh my God. What the fuck? That looks like a Dark Souls dungeon.
That is literally where the final boss lays.
That's fucking horror.
That's the end game in Elden Ring, man.
I didn't imagine the skulls being a part of the equation. I thought it was just like bones, tibias, and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But no, like, so you would happily move into a house where someone got murdered?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
If I'm getting a deal on this, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be at the fucking, at the meeting with them being like, oh, I don't know, 10% off. It's a little, someone did die. Maybe 15, 20% off.
How low would you be willing to go? Like how much would you negotiate down if you knew someone had died in this house?
I'd try and at least get a third off.
Because like that's actually a pretty big thing in Japan, isn't it? Not people getting brutally murdered, but like, but like well, houses where people have died of natural causes.
Listen, man, in this market, you can't be picky. You've got to take what you can get
that
if it's a steal.
That is true.
I'll be like, who died in here? Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, I'm moving in now. Is that all right?
There's a website, actually, which is like a real estate website where it tells you which houses are on sale of, like, they call it jikobukken or like accident apartments where accident some horrible accident has happened and now it's on sale.
Why would that affect your view of the apartment or the house though? It's like saying, oh, if someone had used that swing and died on it, would you not want to use it?
Well, probably not.
Like, is it because they lived there? Is that what like adds the weight to it?
A house is just personal. You know, it's like your personal.
It's not
space.
A house, it's a home.
That's true.
But like the only, but you're, to me, it's like what makes a home is the, you know, the way that you've made it yours, right? It's like the base walls and floors don't mean shit to me, but all my stuff, that's my couch, that's my TV, and I put it there. That's what makes it me, to me at least. Mm, so when, you know, that's why when I move into an apartment, I'm not like, oh, it's weird, someone used to live here. I'm like, oh, they just, it's a box.
I don't think that of like someone used to live here, but like there's a big difference between, oh, someone lived here for 30 years and, oh, a guy was dead there a couple of years ago, like brutally. I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, I know. It's.
But if it's not there anymore, it's not like you're moving in and it's like, don't mind the dead guy. He's been there for a while.
Step over him real quick.
You know how this health insurance trying to get rid of it. Oh.
Well, it's like, you know, having your, what was it like? I guess goes back into partly into like superstition.
I think it's a how, you know, I'm not religious. I'm not very spiritual or anything. So I don't have any sort of connection with death and,
people
and anything. I just think. It's a steal.
It's you just think it's a building.
It's free real estate.
literally, right? Right?
Literal free real estate.
Literally free real estate. Yeah. I originally, like, sometimes when houses were really cheap in Japan here, I would go and look. So I'm like, there's no way that it's this cheap.
Yeah.
And then you'd go online, you would see occasionally that it actually someone had passed in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many apartments where, like, eventually, everyone has to die in an apartment.
Right? Yeah. Or somewhere, yes.
But it's also like, that's like, what if something, like a battle or something happened on a piece of land? Does that affect if you built something on it? What about it? Is it because it's just a personal feeling? Like it's because it's a house? I'm trying to get like, because like in Ikebukuro, right? Sunshine City.
Yeah.
That was built on like a POW camp originally.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why they called it Sunshine. Because they were like, let's rebrand it to make it more happy.
Well, they weren't going to call it
Prisoner of War.
Prisoner of War Prisoner. City. Pal City.
Yeah, like, I think it was like one of the, that's why they renamed it to be like Sunshine, because they wanted it to be more
really?
Positive. If you, I believe, can you check this
Holy
out?
Shit, I did not know that.
I believe, yeah, I believe that it was a Prisoner of War camp before. Well, I'm, and so yeah. You think like, I don't go there and I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Oh,
I think for me, it's more so about like the recency of the event, right? Like, because
that's fair enough.
You know,
yeah.
There's
so
probably,
it's a mixture between yeah. recency yeah, plus yeah, yeah. intimacy.
Yeah, recency and intimacy. Like, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of land all around us that was, you know, where probably soldiers and, you know, people just died, right? But it's like, that it's happened just a very, very, very long time ago. Whereas if someone, you know, just last year got brutally murdered in this living room, then yeah, I'd be a little more uncomfortable.
It's just not a nice thought, knowing that, I guess, such an atrocious thing happened in the very spot.
Are we talking about just murder, by the way?
Yeah. Or just if someone died from natural causes, I'm okay with that.
My concern would be with murder or something, right? It's like, all right, what if the guy got murdered? He was involved in like gangs or something dealing, right? I don't want on their address book for it to be like, the guy that we hate lives here.
Yeah.
and then they come to my house.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, I would probably be asking a bit more questions. Because obviously I'm not going to, you know, if it's something like that or the person was doing something like that, I'd be like, all right, this address is probably not a great address in general.
Right,
yeah. But I mean, like, I'd be okay finding staying there for like temporary or, you know, just like, you know, you stay there and, you know, you find out that happens and like, that's an interesting story. But like, there's just something about settling down or just calling somewhere a home where something like that has happened that would just, like, it doesn't make me superstitious. It's just not a nice thought to have where somewhere, for a place where you should be completely comfortable.
Exactly.
I guess for my permanent home, I might be a bit different towards it.
Yeah.
But towards renting, I couldn't care.
Oh, yeah. Really? If it's renting, then I'm...
I wouldn't even be okay with renting, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if it's a steal?
Even if it's a but there's like, there's other ways to get a steal. You okay, know? Okay. It's just like, just okay. Barter down.
Yeah, I'd
kill for these prices, literally.
I guess different question, but when does, you move into a new place,
okay.
right? When does it start to actually feel like your home and not just a place of residence? If you've ever felt like that, Connor.
The moment, like, the moment you've like, you've hit the wall and you've chipped it and you're like, oh, oh, that's my problem. Oh, fuck.
What?
That's when it hits you.
I do that day one.
Literally what? Day one.
You
a
are
lot
just
of the
being
times.
Irresponsible.
Yeah, I do that day one because I'm like, I'm not used to a wall being here.
I chipped a good chunk of like the wood in the frame when I was moving one of my chairs.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm not going to get some of my deposit back now. Yeah. God damn it.
It's literally day one where your furniture is just a little bit more heavy than you think it's going to be. Your sofa, you just want to move the sofa a little bit and it's just like, you're just trying to nudge it and then it just makes like that fucking scratch.
Yeah, that scratch.
And you never see it coming. You're like, I'm going to try my best to not make the scratch, but it's always like just a little late. Like it just slips a little bit more than you think it's going to do.
I think,
and you just leave that scratch.
I think for me, the moment where I know I've like really settled down is when I am 100% aware of where everything is in the house. Because you have that period where, you know, you're first moving in, you're putting shit away in like cabinets and, you know, everything. And then for a while you're like, fuck, where was that thing again? And you just like look all around the house because you don't know where it is. But the moment where you're like, I know exactly where that really specific thing is. I feel that's when it's like.
Do you know what it is for me? It's really weird for me. For me, it's when I can switch on and off the lights without having to look at them or try to find them. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you move into a new house and you're just like, where's the fucking light switch? Where's the fucking light switch? And then you will live there for like a week or two, and then you can like fucking ultra instinct this thing. You know, like what?
It's like when you enter a room, you just.
Yeah. Right, especially like if it's the living room and like there's different switches depending on which part of the living room. And like
That's true. Live
there for long enough. And like, to me, a home is when I want to turn on that exact light. I know the exact switch that I have to flick to turn on that exact light. I know, it's so weird for me because I've never been a guy who's like, decorated his house a lot. It's weird, right? My room's always been like really bare. It's like a proper engineering room, which is I buy everything exactly what I need to get whatever I need done, right? I need a desk. I need a computer. I need a chair.
You don't buy non-functional things.
I didn't until I moved to Japan and then I realized how weird it is. So I was like, I feel like Mark Zuckerberg, you know?
I was the same.
Yeah, I was like, I need to add personality to this room. I need to buy stuff to it, like fill this room up. You know?
I've always been that person where even when I was back at home where I'm like, if I see an empty piece on my wall, I'm just like, I can fill that up with something.
Oh, no.
Whether
no,
that's
no,
a poster no. or a calendar or anything that I can
didn't,
afford.
I didn't decorate my walls until JoJo.
Really?
Yeah, if you go look at my first videos for JoJo, my walls are like, it's like a scientific experiment room. It's like depressing. And JoJo changed that.
I guess it's because before moving to Japan, the reason I never decorated anywhere was because I'd always think about the moment where I would have to move out of that place.
Right.
And that the thought of having to like pack things up and just take everything down, that seemed like such a hassle. That I was just like, I'm going to remove the hassle from myself, even though that's like years away from when I need to move out.
Right.
And then I just never ended up decorating my room. And then I remember like the only reason I started decorating it was because I was on camera more. So it would look weird if there was nothing in the background. And
I guess if you're not on camera, then there's no need, right?
Yeah.
That makes
sense. But I'm wondering what it would be like when you actually have your own personal home that you're going to, I guess your permanent residence that you're going to stay in for like, I guess years and years, right?
I'm putting a big fucking hole in the wall because I finally can. Yeah, right? Because I can't in my current place.
You know, I wonder what the feeling is of being like a true homeowner.
Yeah.
And just like
being I just want to get to that point where I'm like, you know what? I don't need this wall. Entire wall, take it down.
I look at that and I'm just like, that is the end game. That is the end game.
Where I can do that, where I'm like, wait, I don't need permission to take down this wall. I can just do it.
Like, right now, in university, you fucking needed permission to fucking put posters up and like the type of blue tack you use, you know? And like, go from that to like breaking down a wall is just like so alien to me.
It's like, you know what? I want another room. Give me another room. That's what I want.
Give me another room. Yeah. Let's just make these two rooms into one massive room. Like, that just sounds so cool to me.
I want a bunker. That's what I want. That's the end game for me.
I want a church of made out of bones.
Bones. In my backyard. Well,
luckily for me, there's just one ready for purchase. does the price get dropped for that? That's a lot of deaths on that one.
I feel like at that point, it's just like an aesthetic choice. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
So you kill one person in a house. Suddenly, no. You kill 50 people. Oh, now it's an attraction. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now it's cool.
All right, I see how it is. So what I'm hearing is that you shouldn't stop at one. You should go the full...
Fully commit.
It's profitable to be a serial killer.
Well, it is. Here's the idea, right? You're done, right? You want to make money and you want to be comfortable. First of all, step one, become a serial killer. Step two, profit. Because you go to prison, right?
Right.
Never have to pay for a thing ever again. No taxes, nothing, right? And then now, Netflix ringing you up. What about your true crime docu? Oh, 6 figures per episode.
You're just living like Biscuit Oliver.
You'd be the king of the prison.
Yeah, like, I don't have to pay rent.
What do you want from the prison store? Oh, you want 4 packs of ramen? I'll get it for you. Clean my
bunk. Also, you'd just be in prison.
Yeah. Right?
You're into that.
That's a slight downside to that, right?
Slight downside.
It's just like a bunker, isn't it?
But you'll be rich. In ramen.
Do you ever want to take on a DIY project?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
I'd love to.
It's one of those things that I definitely, when I work less in future,
mm-hmm.
and I get my own place, is that I'm going to have a lot
of fun.
You're
like half retired.
Yeah. You have a lot of fun.
You're just like, lads.
Like, you get the mate over. You're
yeah,
like,
it's like, lads.
Like, do you think this is a good idea? And he's like, let's give it a go. Come on.
What's the one thing you want to build? Or like,
shed, for sure.
Shed.
Just number
you
one.
You want to build a shed?
I want to build a shed.
Yeah, oh, okay. I thought about building a shed at my current place.
Yeah.
Just because I have a lot of space. But like, yeah, build, yeah, shit. I don't know. What is it about building a shed that it's like, yeah, I'm
I feel
a
like
man.
It's like it's like the tutorial level into like building shit.
Or like a table. I think that's the tutorial level.
That's the tutorial
level. Like a work table.
Yeah.
Building a work table where you can do other DIYs.
Building a shed is just like the easy version of building a bunker. You know, it's not a treehouse. You don't have to worry about gravity. It's not underground. It's just in your garden, right?
It's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, it's annoying because like I'll have a problem. I'm like, man, if I just had a saw and some wood, I could like make this thing in my apartment just work easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you ever want a man cave? I guess that's the shed, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What is it about? I don't know, but there's just something primal about just having your own like man cave, right? I don't know why, but every guy it's I like, know,
no ladies allowed.
It's just a shed with like a time crisis machine in it. It's like, boys, come over. Yeah.
It's like pool table, dartboard, time crisis machine. That's all I
need. Has to be time crisis. Yeah. One or two, maybe three. Yeah. Like, anything after three.
I don't want to be the guy who assumes things about genders and stuff like that. But like, do girls want a girl cave? Like, I'm genuinely curious because every girl
cave. God, the house is the girl.
Yeah, cave. Yeah. That's why we build a man cave because the girl doesn't let you build the man cave in the house.
Man, we can't. We can't comprehend more than one room.
Yeah,
that's we can't. That's true. We're like one
we don't
room.
Need more than one room.
Yeah, true. We're like I want to be able to play Osu on 4K Dolby Atmos in this shed and have a beer machine. Yeah, that's exactly. What I want. I don't care about how it looks. It's my thing.
Yeah, yeah more
whereas,
than
whereas I think generally, you know, I'm not assuming that normal. I think women like taking care of the whole space. Yeah, you know, making it. Yeah, we're messy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I'm correct. I might just said something misogynistic.
Like in my opinion, like just because I'm this, men just in general just don't have a sense of interior design like a lot of ladies do.
But then you meet some guys who do.
You meet some guys who are just like wizards, and you're like, how?
Generally speaking,
I think the general consensus is that a lot of guys are just like, put up poster here, and then put up something that doesn't completely match over here. Whereas you know, a lot of ladies are like, no. Balance, theming.
That was probably one of the things I hated most about moving, was having to figure out where everything goes.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah. Because every time you try to do it yourself, you're just like, nah, it doesn't
I just did good. My office. And then I was like, I don't know what to do for the rest.
Yeah, I just did my office as well.
I just did my office as well. And even my office was like fucking difficult as shit to figure out. I thought I had the perfect setup, and then I put everything in place. And then it just looked shit. It looked shit. And I had to like do real life Sims where I was like placing things in different spaces. Around, but unfortunately I couldn't just click on a button. I had to like physically move this fucking heavy ass desk like around my room until I found a place that I felt comfortable with. And I wish I could just like see in my mind's eye where it would look the best. But like my imagination just sucks when it comes to interior
design. I wish I had that like overview camera, you know, of the room where I could just see the entire thing. I'm like, yes, I know exactly what this is going to look
also,
like.
Also, like, I just hate making decisions. I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing, but like the thing.
Decision fatigue.
This is why you would fail in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Probably. I just want someone to make all my decisions for me. You know, like. Oh my
God. Goo goo gaga. God. Change my diapers, Sydney.
I just want to exist comfortably. I want someone to make the decisions for me. I think as long as I can just exist comfortably.
There's a good place for that. I think it's called prison. Jail.
Honestly, you're bashing prison. It kind of sounds like you like it.
Yeah, they make all the decisions for you there.
They tell you when to eat. They tell you when you can go and exercise. I don't know, God. They kind of seem like you might like it.
But I think
you would do the best in prison out of the three of us. Because you'd be in the fucking.
How'd you do well in prison?
You'd be sitting in the fucking corner having a great time watching like Kitchen Nightmares in your head for the third time. Me and Joey'd be like going crazy.
Absolutely,
that's probably true. Actually,
Gant would be totally chill in prison.
Yeah,
you'd be friends with everyone because no one can hate you.
Yeah, you have no decision fatigue either because everything's been selected for you. Yeah.
don't have to worry about interior design.
Literally, the most stress-free lifestyle.
Consider.
It's the knowledge that if I wanted to, I could leave. if I wanted to, I could make a decision and have my own freedom.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I see.
So maybe you're like a make-believe prison.
So Gant wants prison, but it can leave when he wants.
Yeah.
So like a rehab?
Like a hospital?
Like a mental asylum?
You can't leave
mental asylum. It's not.
I'd be the easiest like grandparent to take care of, you know. Just leave me.
Like old folks home.
Yeah, an old folks home. Yeah. Just leave me there.
Yeah.
future child, please do not take this clip out of context. Please take care of me. This is just young me talking shit with the boys. Please don't leave me in a. Please do not leave me in an.
I just imagine you go to your to visit your grandparents in this old person's home, and then just like next to your 70-year-old granddad is 30-year-old Khan playing solitaire. Like Khan's like, I love it here. It's amazing. They take care of me.
Have you ever thought about it? Because like.
No.
Have you ever thought about it?
No, never thought.
Okay, so you have kids, right? Mm. Okay. I'm sure every parent goes through this phase. You have kids. You want them to take care of you when you're older because I don't know like many people who want to be in a retirement home, right? You want to be close to your kids as possible.
Right.
How'd you trick them into doing that? How'd you convince your kids to do that?
Well, this is where the past 40 years will matter, guys. Whether or not you treated your kids right.
Right.
Did you raise a piece of shit? I think it's all about how you raise them.
How were you raised? Were you raised?
I wasn't. I was left to fend for myself, God. On a desert island.
Because like
the wolves were my parents.
Because for me, right? For you guys, you got family, right? You got brothers and sisters. You can spread the load, right? For me, I'm like an only child, so like my parents are like all or nothing for me. They're like praying that I don't just wake up one day and I'm just like, Mom, Dad, I guess you're going in the retirement home today. God, they're probably sweating watching this right now.
Like, shit, he's considering.
Depends, you know, because what if they, it's like different, right? If you're like 40, 50, you probably have a lot more time and resources to be able to help. If you're 20, 25, 30, you know, you're barely being able to take care of yourself.
Also think about like, you know, if you live near your parents, right? That's like true. you could be on the other side of the planet and it's like, if they can't take care of themselves, then who's going to?
Yeah.
Retirement home.
Unfortunately, we are three guys who are living like very, very far away from our parents.
Exactly.
But, like, yeah, I think like we're like the exceptions.
That's why my sister lives near my parents. So all the work goes to her.
That's what I'm saying.
Do your parents need help already?
Having siblings is a cheat code, man. That's all I'm saying, man. Like,
I'm like, sister, good luck. See you later. Teleports away.
You were the first one to leave. So now
my sister's like, well, fuck, I can't leave now.
Apparently raising another kid wasn't so annoying. We'd all have like 15 kids. All right, well, go on. Glad to know that your parents are on the one-way street to your retirement home. hope you've enjoyed this episode of Trash Taste.
Hey, you know who doesn't have decision fatigue, though? Our patrons. Wow. Because they decided to support us.
I was going to say.
Those are the real Gs. Real Gs. But hey, if you want to support the boys as well, then make sure to go over to our Patreon. Patreon.com/trashtaste. Also, follow us on Twitter. Send us emails in the subreddit. And if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify.
Well, thanks for watching.
That's been this survivalist episode of Trash Taste.
What's a survivalist? I don't even know.
I think
this
it was
a survival
like,
episode.
This was a survival episode for fucking idiots. Drink piss.
One of our best ones, I think, in a while.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Drink piss or not?
Yeah. Never drink piss, always drink piss.
That's the real question. Do you drink piss to survive or not? That's the only piece of knowledge I need to know that I'm missing.
Let us know
right
in the
now.
Comments if you've drank piss.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.